Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're making the world a better place.
How?
We're selling them nuclear horse piss for $6 a can.
What an accomplishment.
Feels good, doesn't it, man?
Plus, it's totally easy to do hungover. I could do this job forever.
If I had to do this job forever, I'd put a bullet in my head.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Now, why do you bow for that guy?
Because he's the king and he rules the entire realm.
Oh, my bad. Is that what he is or isn't whacking it to The Sims?
Paul Perillo.
Fendi is 20. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Fendi's the only one that doesn't mean large. He's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
And Andy. And Andy?
The sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
Andy Hart.
You're just a miserable now. You're mean to everybody.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Don't listen to them, all right? Do what makes you happy. You want to wear a cape? Wear a cape. You want to wear a suit of armor? Who gives a shit? Screw them.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's this fantasy world where anything is possible.
Sounds gay.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. What was that from?
Role Models.
Role Models.
I never saw that movie.
I didn't either.
It's not very festive.
I'm wondering if any of our listeners have ever heard that movie.
I wanted to see it. I remember seeing the previews and stuff.
How come my mic's not on?
How come I can't hear myself?
Did you do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I did it a while ago when it was a little more topical, but
Doc never played.
Doctor didn't like it as much. So.
I'm not surprised.
And you get your first chance on the board and you play it.
I'm not surprised that Doc wouldn't let you play it, but I have to now watch that movie so I can see how funny it is.
All right, PFW in Progress.
All right.
I got a feeling this is going to be a great show. I really do.
Are you going to explain to me the playoff scenario?
I'm really excited.
I don't. I will say this about the excitement part, and yeah. I think, Fred, I think you nailed it in your edit letter this week. And Andy and I were talking about it walking out. Patriots got their ducks in a row. They got their swagger back.
They definitely do.
Whether it's
but you notice I left the edit letter with a question.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
No, but
that's why I said I think you nailed it. Yeah. I think they have their swagger back. But the way you
if
wrote
they have
it,
their talent back or not is the question.
Yeah, and I think that's what you wrote. And I think that you said something. You know, if they do A, B, and C, and we're not talking about A, B, and C. A from 04,
right.
B from 07. You're talking about stuff they've done this year
right.
on an inconsistent basis.
Right.
They finally did on Sunday on a consistent basis.
Right.
That was the best, most complete performance they've had this year.
Right.
And
they believe they're
they
good
now believe that they can beat anybody.
That's
Tom
relevant.
Said it
I don't know.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now we'll find out.
You can
out.
Believe
well,
you're going to beat
funny.
Anybody you want.
I was watching the pregame. It might have been even halftime. Boomer and Tom Jackson, and the one team they said Patriots could be the champ. I don't know, but they're doing it because of history.
Right. They're doing 04,
right.
07, blah, blah, blah.
And if you want to
know,
we're
going
on this year.
They were saying if they can run like they did with Tom Brady, defense was looking good.
Is the defense looking good against the Jags?
Exactly.
Who packed
we
it
don't
in when
know.
They went down 14-0?
But that same offense scored 31 against the Colts.
No,
so
I know, but
you
that
don't
same
know.
Defense pooped itself
right.
in
right.
New Orleans.
And they've pooped
right.
themselves every game on
right.
the road all year,
mm-hmm.
Jack.
So
they've been absolutely horrible on the road.
But I think the part that they're right at nationally is everybody's falling apart. There's a lot that's
right.
hitting the fan in a lot
you
of
places. You don't know. Just like we don't know who's in the playoffs.
Right.
And
or who we're playing or what seed we are.
Right.
If you want to have – and I know where you're going with this, but if you want to have a good show –
yeah.
You know, like one
claiming
of shows,
your way won't be a good show.
You know, it's just another example of the national media dying for the Patriots to do what they did on Sunday so they can all jump on the wagon. Right. Say, oh, well, I've been on the Patriots all year. I don't understand why. They will wait one game.
Right.
They just came off two absolutely dreadful offensive performances, and now, as you said, I'm not saying. I never say anything. The national media loves the Patriots.
Right.
They hate Belichick. There's a difference.
Well, Patriots clinched the AFC East, which is great. 7 out of 9 years they've done that. I think that's a remarkable feat in this day and age in the NFL.
I mean, I think it's remarkable in any day and age.
Year too.
Sure is.
The Colts do it every year too, but we marvel at that organization as well. So that's great. But
great Monday night game.
I'm loving the fact that Brett Favre lost last night. Although I have to say,
he looked like Brett Favre.
He looked great. Plus, the times where he disagreed with the sideline, he was right.
He was right last night.
He was right.
When he tried to keep that jumbo package off the field on that play, he was absolutely right.
Right.
I mean, it was funny, though, because, and, I was talking to Andy about this. We're taking him to task a little bit this week. It's amazing how differently he's perceived. Did you hear you heard the comments last night, if you watched the set, how much of a competitor he is.
Yeah.
And the fire that he gets. I mean, they don't say this stuff about T.O.
Right.
Yeah. And T.O. wants to win. T.O.'s passionate.
T.O. was right. Getting him the ball is a good way to try to win games. Right. I mean,
but
you just
can't
go against the coach, even if you're right.
He was throwing frozen ropes the whole second half of that game last night, though.
The comparison is Peyton Manning was unhappy about not being able to play the end of that game, but he didn't show up as coach on the sideline.
Right.
You know,
and he was right. They would have won the game if he'd,
what
I mean? So,
oh God, if they played another series,
but it's not a question of right or wrong. It's a question of the coach is the coach.
Right.
It's his way.
That's right.
Was Bill right or wrong on fourth and two? It doesn't matter. It was his decision.
You have a problem with your coach, you take it up behind closed doors with your coach. You don't do it on national television or with the media.
Well, yeah.
Adalys Thomas.
You're unbelievable.
So that's how you do it. But the biggest
No.
You don't want me to
stop for a minute. If you're going to get your little Adalys Thomas jab, I'm going to get mine.
Okay.
Did you see the play where he set the edge
and then turned
and caught Maurice Jones-Drew before he got to the sideline?
Look.
You're going to tell me he's not one of your best 45 players?
On that day, he certainly was.
Oh, on that day. Whatever. Bill Belichick rump swap you.
Whatever.
He's one of your best 45 every day.
Look, it all came together. We were laughing on the sideline. Everybody was loving each other. The only downside of that game was a Lawrence Maroney fumble. That was the only bad thing of that day.
I think some would argue that not even that bad. It allowed the other guys to play, and a lot of people want those other guys to play.
For him.
Sammy Morris, I think they were going to get Taylor no matter what.
Yeah, I think those guys were going to get carries no matter what.
Well, no, I think Sammy Morris got a lot more carries and proved yet again, when you give him the carries, he looks like a lead back. He runs for 80 or 100 yards.
But everything came together. Vollmer started and played the whole game at one position. Neal was back. The line played well. Brady had time. Brady felt better. And by the way, a sneak at the end of the game, he must be feeling better rib-wise, or else I don't think he would have done that.
Ridiculous.
Utterly ridiculous. Either he's feeling better or it was a bad call, but...
Both.
But
I was going to say, even if he's feeling better, it's not gone. Totally gone. So,
but he took hits on that play.
They were kicking his ass on that play. He was like a pinata.
That's not good.
But he must be feeling okay. So everything was good. And the Colts situation. I am just loving it.
But this is going
to
be a
disappointing show
for you.
The team you were going to root for in the Super Bowl, you're now just giddy because they lost.
In the span of 2 weeks.
I have no idea what goes through your head.
I am just loving
it. Fred was so giddy in his office when the Jets took the lead and the Colts took all the players out. It was as if the Patriots were still playing against Jacksonville. Fred was that excited. It was really kind of disturbing.
And Polian is getting killed. They had to pull the plug on his own radio show, Tim, because his own fans are pounding him. And, well, they should. It is a gutless move. This isn't about resting players when you have things sewn up. This is about not letting your team go for something that is historical and they want to do. And, you can say we're going to leave 16-0 to other people. We know what he means by that pompous ass. But his own fans are calling him out. And well, they should. He's getting testy with them. They don't know anything about football. Teams have, as far as resting, this isn't about resting players. Teams have done it both ways and been successful and failed. There's no right or wrong. So I'm not even arguing about whether it's right to test players at the end. I'm talking about when you're 14-0 and up 15-10 and have a chance with Buffalo next week to do 16-0, you do it, damn
it. It is about resting players.
No, you do it. You go for it.
The choice is to rest the players.
You go for it. But that's usually the choice, not when you have an undefeated season on the line as well.
No, so but you're saying you disagree with the decision. I don't really care. But
I don't disagree with resting players.
But that's what he's doing. You're telling me that he...
I do disagree when you have a chance to go undefeated. Look, at the beginning of the season, you ask anyone, hey, is one of your goals going undefeated this year? That's ridiculous. That's not anyone's goal. But when it's staring you in the face...
It is. Your goal is to win every game you play.
When you can touch it, you go for it.
But you're
not at the cost of winning a Super Bowl.
That's not... You can't say that.
You can't definitively. I agree with you. But if you think it is... Then it's what you do. If you think it hurts
why
your
I don't
chances
care.
To go to a Super Bowl, then you rest.
And you're right. There is no yes or right or wrong answer to that. No one can prove that.
Right. If the Patriots win
the
or not win because they didn't rest,
you're saying
no.
It's not about resting players. Why else would Polian have not done that? You're saying he intentionally didn't want to go 16-0?
I'm saying he's a coward. I'm saying if they had won that game, listen to me. I'm saying he wants to rest players, but I'm saying if they had won that game, even if Painter had somehow won that game for them, and then they had rested players in week 16 with only one game, he would have been run out of town. He couldn't afford that. He had to lose this game so that they weren't 15-0 going to last week, and the pressure to play that game wasn't there. I just told you why.
I think your reasoning is kind of
he's a coward. He doesn't want that.
You just want to keep taking personal shots at him.
16-0 is for other people. Screw you. Every player wants to go for that. Every player.
But as Rodney
said,
it's about the
tell
coaches.
Tell me who won
to
Super Bowl 19. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But I know the two teams that had undefeated seasons since the AFL-NFL merger.
San Francisco.
Yeah, you know, because you're crazy. Because
he always knows it until you ask him a question that you need for, like, a story, and he goes, I don't know.
But you see what I'm saying? It is special. The players know it's special. They could taste it. It was right there.
You know what's
there.
More special? Winning a Super Bowl.
Plus
you
they,
do what you think
plus
you need
they
to
also,
do.
Plus, they also let the team, allowed the team with the best defense in football to be in the playoffs. Thank you very much. You know?
They're not in the playoffs yet.
Well, they would have been eliminated had they lost.
Right.
You know?
It's a decision you need to make, and it's not going to be popular either way.
They probably
if Peyton Manning went in there and he tears an ACL and doesn't play again, he gets run out of town that way, too.
Look. And I'm
going to get run out of town anyway.
I just can't believe the amount of passion that this has brought up. Like I heard about like Rich Eisen on NFL Network sounded like a scorned little schoolgirl.
He's just mad because they can't run specials this week. But
it actually benefited him because he's a Jets fan.
He's a clown.
But I don't understand why you would get so passionate. Colts fans, I totally understand.
Yeah.
Colts fans, I get you. I get where you're coming from there.
I get the fans. I don't get him saying the fans are right.
That's like, were
the fans who were calling for Bill's job right? Fans aren't right just because they have some passion and have some fire. Fans wanted to run Bill Belichick out of town after 4th and 2.
Do they have the right to want to go for 16-0?
Yes.
That's all they're
and the
talking
coach
about.
And the coach has the right to say it's not in the best interest of
and
our football
do they have
team.
A right to disagree with him?
Yes.
Okay, that's
but
all
the
they're
coach
doing.
Has to do what he believes in, not what the
right.
fans want.
And Polian believes in that because he's
well,
a coward.
Well, first of all, was it a Polian decision or a Caldwell? That's
oh,
what
please.
I want.
Polian.
No, I,
please.
No, it's just Polian. There's no one else involved.
It's an organizational philosophy, if you ask me.
Because I think
Peyton
Manning's
involved. That was there before.
Personally.
Well, I mean, Dunn
Polian brought in.
Polian's the one because he used to do it in Buffalo.
Okay.
You know, never worked there either.
Oh, no. The four times they went to the Super Bowl was all because they didn't get over the hump because they rested their starters.
But Paul, that's
but
the point. Exactly.
How stupid that is?
I know, but
it's
that's,
very
the,
stupid
that's the point.
Because
it doesn't matter whether or not you rest the players. It doesn't. They have a week
off. They have
a bye.
So why would you possibly be so passionate about it if it doesn't matter?
Because they didn't get to go for 16-0. It had
they
nothing,
did get to go.
It has,
they laid an egg.
They had nothing.
Their backups.
Look.
Crap the bed.
They had has nothing to do with the philosophy of resting players. It has everything to do with having staring in the face, being able to go 16-0, being that close, and saying, you know what, I'm pulling the plug.
But they're directly tied
because
to each
of
other.
My philosophy for
you're
resting
players.
You're
saying one thing
for
in a
once,
different way. You're saying
one,
the same
look,
thing in two
look,
different ways.
The Patriots have had the season wrapped up, and they've rested players.
Right.
But when they had 16-0 on the line, they did not.
And they lost
and
the Super Bowl.
And that's what they decided to do.
So you're just saying what Paul said was stupid. It had nothing to do with that.
I agree.
Right?
It has nothing
but
to do with
so
it.
But
you
said Polian didn't win Super Bowls because he rested.
Right. Lost them Super Bowls.
But it's stupid.
2 seconds
I
ago
was
you
kidding.
Said that.
I was kidding.
So no, was I, but I was meeting your idiocy in mind.
When you said what you said, Paul, I said that's my point. It doesn't matter.
So why would it matter now?
Because he's a coward. That's why it matters.
Fred, if you want to have a good show, we can just keep making fun of Bill Polian.
But Paul,
call him all kinds
Paul,
of names.
Okay,
I'm on board. I don't like the guy. I'll join in with you.
But you really haven't given me a rational explanation.
Let's
agree on this. Winning the Super Bowl has nothing to do with wrestling players.
Okay.
Can we agree on that?
Let's agree on this. Let's agree on this.
All right.
Yes, I agree with
you.
You agree with it.
We all agree on that, right?
I totally agree with you. All right. I think it's one of the most overplayed lines of thought at this time of year. You can do it either way,
and you can
win. The Arizona Cardinals took the entire month of December off, and they came a play away from winning the Super Bowl.
So you can do it either way and win. We agree on that. Okay, go ahead.
Why are we making a difference because it's 16-0? I don't understand. This is obviously
that is the difference,
but it's obviously his philosophy is to rest his players. You're saying that he's a coward. Well, was he a coward last year when he rested? Was he a coward the year before when he rested?
Didn't have
was he
16 a coward? And 0 on
every
the
year
line.
He's had a chance to rest his players. He has.
Paul, every
he's
year
he's doing nothing different.
Paul, every year he wasn't a game and a half away from being 16-0. That's the only difference. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't
that
understand.
Is
what
the
do
difference.
You have to be afraid of? What is the coward? What is he afraid
if
of?
If anything, because I think it shows that he's strong in his beliefs and that his philosophy.
Okay. The only thing he's afraid
no
of,
matter
Fred,
what,
I
rain.
I can agree with that.
The only thing he's fearing is
but
getting
that's stubbornness. That's stubbornness, and that's what the fans
only
are
if it's wrong.
No,
if it's right, it's genius.
But he can
right?
Well,
it's having strong values.
But it's already been proven that teams have done it both ways and been successful or failed.
But he needs to do it his way.
I understand.
Just like Bill Belichick does things his way.
But this is why the fans are so upset.
Because they wanted to go 16-0.
And
that's the bottom line.
And his stubbornness.
I think it's just they wanted to go 16-0.
Did you hear the quotes that he had?
We know he's a hothead. No, I didn't. But
okay.
He would not handle this well. He doesn't.
That's why the fans are so mad, because he's dismissing them.
Right. And I would dismiss them, too.
That's,
I built you a winner for over a decade. If you're going to cut ties with me because you don't agree with my one decision, then cut ties with me. Yeah. I'll go build another team into a Super Bowl team, just like I always do everywhere I go.
See, I think that
That's what I would say. And then pull the plug 10 minutes early.
Even if they win the Super Bowl, I think a lot of people will forget about all this if they win the Super Bowl.
Of course they will.
But there will be a certain percentage of the Colts fans who will say, yeah, but we could have been undefeated.
But here's my point about your coward thing.
It's true.
And I'm frustrated with those fans already.
Your whole coward thing doesn't make any sense to me, because I don't really understand what he was afraid of. If he had tried to win the game and they lost and they went 15-1, would he be perceived as making a mistake in any way?
No, not at all.
He did the unpopular thing. And you're calling him a coward for it.
He just wants to take shots at him personally.
Listen, again, I don't really care what he did. I think it was kind of funny that they played as long as they did, and then he decided to pull the plug. I thought it was odd. And I said to Andy as we were walking in here, the one thing I would have concerns about if I were a Colt fan had nothing to do with records of 16-0, because I think records are for losers. I've said that many times. What I would be concerned of is that locker room certainly seems like it wanted to go for it, and I would wonder if I'm a Colt fan how they're going to respond to that, if that bothers anybody.
Right.
Beyond Peyton Manning.
Right.
In that locker room.
I
don't care about this this role that they were on. They played very well on Sunday. When the starters were in the game, they dominated that game. The Jets had 3 points and about 50 yards of offense.
And the Colts defense
was
playing fine. They had one
dominant.
They had a special teams touchdown and a fumble recovery for a touchdown.
But when the backups came in, they couldn't stop them.
It fell apart. But if somehow the Colts had won that game, let's say Polian said, I'm going to keep Manning in or whatever, he couldn't do that, because then you're 15-0. Now you have to go for it.
But I don't understand, what are you be afraid of? Like, where's the fear?
Well, I don't know. Okay, maybe.
Where's the coward coming?
I just think that,
his personal
thoughts. He did the thing that took more, in my opinion,
no question,
more gut. I would have gone for it. I would have gone to try to go 16-0.
Well, I might have rested him next week. I don't get the midway through the second half of the second to last game.
That's the part I didn't get.
If you're 15-0 and you're playing Buffalo, you got to rest.
I'm going to stick to my philosophy. I don't think you gained anything by a quarter of football.
I really don't think he gained anything by resting him.
And you can make a case
for either side.
But he did the thing that was harder to do.
I understand what you're saying. It's a good point, Paul. He did the unpopular thing, and you have to be courageous.
I just think it's dumb. Midway through a half of the second-to-last game, to me, is now you're going down to, the minute. If he plays one more minute, he's going to be tired.
I'll change my adjective from coward
to stupid
to arrogant jerk.
Yeah,
now, are you talking?
I would be on board with that. I think he is an arrogant jerk.
Yeah.
And that's what most people think of the guy here. And what do they have in common? They are the best two teams in the last decade.
They win.
Web Radio jerks are great.
Web Radio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. On the phone right now is Larry from Worcester. He says he was listening to the Polian show on the radio last night. Larry, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Hope you all had a happy Christmas.
We did.
Thank you.
Tell me about the show.
Hope you did as well.
I did, thank you. It was funny. I actually sent the email. I renamed him Polian.
Good, good.
Because that's what he did all through the show. His major point was a 16-0 season wasn't a record.
It's not a record.
It would have
it's
to
true.
Be 19-0.
True.
But then he said, it's not like the 23 straight games.
Oh, see, now
it is
he's
a record,
he's
even though
best.
It doesn't include the postseason.
I love it. What an idiot.
That was just one of the many things. The other thing is he didn't want to get Peyton hurt. Was his major hurt. Wasn't rest. It was hurt these players.
Right.
Well, yeah.
And
that's,
yet
I mean,
you
that's
put
what
in
he's
a backup who hasn't taken a snap as a pro and probably hasn't taken any. Well, he didn't say this, so I'm making an assumption here. But the way that Peyton plays, I can't see this guy getting any snaps at practice either. So you've got somebody who's never taken a snap
at
the number ones put in to get killed. So his health doesn't matter.
Well, first of all, it doesn't.
It was more health than rest.
See, that's the part I don't get.
It's 100% health.
It is health, but I don't
0%
get
0% rest.
If you're scared to play him, then don't play him. Don't play him for three quarters or and then say, okay, now he could get hurt. He didn't get hurt before this, but he could get hurt. That's stupid.
He played half of the game plus the next series. I didn't.
And also, Paul, and when he was on TV, when they interviewed him, this is before this game, about his philosophy. His philosophy had nothing to do with rest. It had to do with, well, when we have players that are a little dinged up, this is the time to get them out.
I'm talking about, when I say rest, I'm talking about health. Like right now with Tom Brady.
But I'm talking about what Polian has said.
Tom Brady's not tired, but he's physically not 100%. That's why I say rest him this week against Houston.
Right.
But he's not tired. He doesn't need a nap.
But I'm talking about what Polian said.
But that's what we're talking about, rest.
I know, but he wasn't, Paul.
Health. Meaning rest.
What Polian specifically said, injured guys, guys that are playing with injuries, this is a good time to get them rest.
And you don't think that Tom
Brady
is dealing with injuries?
Well, then every
right
guy,
now?
then so what he's saying is just saying everybody.
Yes.
Right. Okay, well, that's not what he said, but okay. You're reading between the lines.
Rest and health are the same thing.
I'm saying anybody who came out of the game because they're dealing with something and they want to make sure it doesn't get worse.
Okay, so what was Manning dealing with?
Whatever he's dealing with.
You don't think he has something that hurts?
You think he's 100%?
So basically everybody's dealing with something.
Yes, of course.
But not everybody is valuable.
Okay.
Right.
You start at the top of the roster, give as many guys you can off, and then the rest
play. In this particular game, everybody was valuable because everybody came out.
Right.
Well, not everybody.
But I mean, I would rest all the Patriots this week. I would start at the top with Brady, Moss, and Welker and go as low as I could until I couldn't rest anybody else.
Well, usually they play like a couple series.
I wouldn't, because I want them to have a mental week too. I want them knowing you're not playing.
But is there anything to be said about you know you're not going to be playing during the bye week? If you rest them the game 16, now you basically haven't played football for 3 weeks.
I think that's a question.
You know,
I think the bye teams face a different question as opposed to the three through six who don't get a bye.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Which is why I'd rest the Patriots. That's your bye. Your bye's right now.
Right.
It's week 17.
No, I agree with that.
All their callers crucified him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he went through a whole hour. And you have to give him, you got to take Coward away. Because he knew what he was coming into after what they did after the game.
True.
I mean, they booed him in the stadium floor. I mean, that crowd booed their own team, which is unheard of.
After, you know,
at
14
the
gap, and 1.
The end of the game.
Right.
So he knew what he was coming in, and he came in, and they let those phone calls go through. So you can't use the word.
You
got
to give him credit for, facing the music. Yep.
Right. Yep. You take Coward away, an arrogant, lying fool.
Lying.
Is good. Yes. Lying is good. Because he did say a lot of lying.
Excellent, Larry. I love it.
All right.
But you can't use Coward. I mean, I don't think.
Arrogant, lying fool. I love it.
I would have.
But Coward's too strong.
About going in and doing that radio. because you knew what was going to happen.
All right, Larry, thanks for filling us in. We got to take a break, but thank you for the call, Larry. We'll be right back, and when we do, Matt from Oregon is here, and
he brought an elk.
We'll talk to you in a minute.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto-reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. Three Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' three Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, three out of four. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
What else you got for emails?
I got tons of emails.
Why don't we hit some?
Should we get to some emails?
We should.
All right, we'll do that right after this.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Matt from Oregon's here, and he just spent about the last half hour in about 5-degree weather outside the stadium grilling up elk for us, which we're eating right now in the form of hamburg. And it's pretty good. What do you think, Paul?
It's excellent.
Yeah. It's got a little elk stuck in my throat. But no, it's really good. Is Matt going to come on? Or
I don't know.
So
I think he's getting his own food.
It's because his dad and his brother. It's his father, right?
Yeah.
And his brother.
And his brother.
Yeah.
Santa's got a little downtime since he was busy last week.
So Matt will be joining us after he eats. But it's interesting elk, it is.
I like it. I couldn't tell you it's elk. I mean,
well, I can tell you it's not hamburg.
Was that like an old English
sentence? It doesn't taste like hamburg. It does taste different.
Interesting. Elk.
Here comes Matt.
Here's Matt.
It definitely has a different taste than hamburger.
I guess. I mean, it's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's somewhere between steak and hamburger.
Are you all right?
Well, yeah, but then I just it's a good
Toyota,
hamburger.
Call a priest, will you?
Yeah.
We might be losing Freddie.
So Matt's here. Matt, put your mic on.
The mic's on.
How you doing, by the way?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
Just in from Oregon?
Yep.
And
it works better if you're talking
into the mic.
So you did your annual elk grill outside of Gillette Stadium. Where'd you take this elk down?
Colorado, right near Slater, Colorado.
Yeah, and how big of a beast was it?
It was a pretty big cow, over 200 pounds anyway.
Yeah, and you said you shot it from over 500 yards away?
515 yards, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. How did you even see it from that far away?
Good binoculars.
Wow.
we actually, where we hunt is usually full of of deer and elk. There were plenty of deer in the area, but very little elk. So we had a whole, big group hunt chasing down this one small group of elk that were there. And this one got away from the group, and I actually had to run about a mile through the mountains to where I could see it coming.
I would have been out
cross elk hunting off your list of things to do, Paul.
Absolutely.
But I got set up on a nice rock.
You're like Yosemite Sam, for crying out loud.
Did the whole, slow breathing, slow is smooth, smooth is fast, and took her down.
Wow.
Isn't it Yosemite Sam?
Yeah, I guess so.
Isn't it Yosemite National Park?
I thought you were making a joke.
You say it took three shots to bring it down?
It did. The first shot knocked it down. I have a 300 Win Mag, which is a pretty powerful rifle. The first shot knocked it down, but it was still kind of kicking. And as I I'm a hunter and I've killed many animals, but I don't like to make things suffer.
Right.
So I put a mercy shot in to try to, put it away. And when you shoot a rifle, the shot, the recoil makes you, lose what you're looking at for a second. So it's on the ground, and I see it kicking, so I take another shot, and I look back to where it was on the ground, and it's not there anymore. It actually stood back up.
Wow.
The second shot stood it back up, and then the third shot knocked it down for good.
So the second one's called a mercy shot. Yeah. What's the third one called?
Right, exactly. But
son of a bitch go down shot?
Oh, my God, I shot my eye out! So that's cool. Well, thank you for the hamburger, the elkberg.
Yeah.
It's good
hamburger.
Stuff. Well, it's,
don't disrespect it.
It's hamburger.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's made out of elk.
So, that's right.
So you've been following the Patriots, between
absolutely.
Hunting trips. And,
I only missed one game all season. It was for that trip.
Yeah?
But, yep.
What do you get? Do you have DirecTV out there?
No, usually about half the games are on TV, and then there's a sports bar I go to for the other ones.
Okay.
I have a very understanding wife at home who lets me head out and watch the games.
So what do you think so far this season? I mean, it's been a weird season.
Man.
Yeah.
This last game, though, I don't know if you guys have talked about this yet. Pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
And they look great.
It's everything to me. All of a sudden, they put together, I thought, all aspects of the game.
Yeah.
And Andy and I said, they kind of got their their swagger back a little bit. It's like they felt really good about themselves after that game. And you could hear it with Bill even yesterday in his press conference on Monday, which normally is just kind of a rehash. This was he had a jump in his step in that press conference yesterday. I think he saw the same stuff that we did.
Yeah.
And, you know, they needed it. They put a lot into that game. The Jacksonville game.
Now, how much of the, you know, in particular the pressure on the quarterback was our defensive line, and how much of it was their offensive line?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I think
the pressure's been better.
The last two games disregarded
it a little bit in Buffalo because of the offensive line and the whole gimmick of everybody standing up. I thought this was just better.
Was it scheme because of scheme or just guys
winning?
I think
guys doing a better job.
Yeah, Bantakane has been very, very good.
Mike Wright has been good.
We talked about the two rookie tackles that Jacksonville has, and they've struggled. And Bill said as much on Friday when I asked him about it. And we saw that. We saw edge pressure in that game. So clearly that was an area that they wanted to target. But Andy's right.
But I didn't think early in the year, even times when maybe you thought they'd target it and should target it,
they didn't get anywhere near the amount of pressure in the opener against Buffalo that they got the second game against Buffalo. It's the same decrepit offensive line. You know, I mean, they had some sacks in that game.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a lot of pressure. They like I said, this was pressure. I thought they had guys around the passer more so than sacks. I think they had like four sacks in the first game, but they had no pressure otherwise.
But looking ahead, you know, and being wishful, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, you got to be careful with those guys. You can't sell out because they'll burn you. So,
well, I don't think they're selling
out
right now.
You have to get pressure on.
Right. Yeah. You have to make them uncomfortable, but you can't sell out to do it. It's the same old story.
Yeah.
And they also have better offensive lines, I think, than what they've been doing it against. But I don't think you can underestimate that they're feeling better. They're not doubting themselves. I told you a couple weeks ago, they were winning games. You go in the locker room, they weren't happy. They didn't feel like they were winning. They weren't, you know, building something. Last week, I think they felt like they were building something.
Remember early in the season, we were, you know, they had McGowan came in and said, wow, he's provided this spark to the team. I think the same thing could be said of Sanders right now. He's come in and solidified the backfield there. And maybe not from a physical standpoint, although he did have a nice physical game, but from a communication standpoint, he seemed to really settle things down back there.
I'm just wondering if they're going to arrest him and he loses his undefeated season. He's 4-0 at this point in the season.
That's right.
You really are an embarrassment.
talk about last week?
How can you love another male so much?
There's nothing gay about it, Paul.
It's uncomfortable.
It's admiration.
How could you love another male so much?
Oh, well, you're not a big enough person to understand it.
As you know, I'm big enough.
So
you can't underestimate how he's affected that secondary.
I just said
he had
so.
A fourth down stop.
I just said so.
Suddenly, Brandon Merriweather, Sanders taught him how to tackle on a third down stop.
Right, that was a great
the communication.
He drove right through the guy.
Sanders has been.
What was
terrific.
This team early in the year? They were up and down, high and low.
Right.
What is James Sanders?
Level.
He's a horizon.
Right.
He's straight across.
As long as that straight across is at a high enough plane,
and it is.
Yeah.
He's never going to win you games with all these elaborate plays and running around the field with the football. But you know what? I don't think he's going to cost you too many games.
Yeah.
I don't think you're ever going to say, we lost today because James Sanders stinks.
Right. And I think Sean Springs decided he wants to play now.
I made a comment in the press box to Eric. Andy, I don't know where you went, but you just kind of zoned out for a while. That's what you do. And I think you just went to the bathroom.
I lost interest, maybe.
How could Sean Springs possibly – this kind of goes to the Adalys Thomas thing. Maybe a disappointment for the money that they gave the guy, but how can he be inactive four games in a row and then play the way he's played the last couple? Come on.
So you don't think it's injury?
Oh, God, no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, there was an injury at some point.
Apparently. So what – I mean, Paul, what are you saying?
I'm saying it's a poor coaching decision. Poor use of personnel.
But there had to be a reason. They don't just arbitrarily say, Sean, you're not playing.
The reason was we thought it was in the best interest of our football team to have other guys playing.
But,
well, maybe it's an attitude thing.
Maybe.
But, you know?
I mean, you can't tell me that he's not better than Darius Butler.
But if his attitude stinks.
And Jonathan Wilhite.
But if he wasn't.
Is that enough to not play him?
Right.
But do you think there was an attitude thing?
Yeah.
There had to be a reason.
Tying it into that whole, sorry, AD, sorry, Sean.
I don't think
there was something there that Bill didn't like.
But he had not been playing for a month
right.
at that time.
My guess is on the practice fields and just his whole interaction,
he
was not carrying himself like Bill thought he should.
I think it was the slow start in training camp in terms of the illness that he started with, and he banged up his knee a little bit. But I think that he felt like this is just another one of these veteran guys. I can get the same out of a young guy as this guy, the whole line in the graph and the guy rising and already being where he's supposed to be. And I think he reevaluated it and made a change. And I think the change has been for the better.
Yeah, I think there's some attitude. And it might even go back to
well,
that.
Well, then I'm not happy
he
with
may
that.
Not have handled himself
thing,
well.
I'm not happy with that. If he's making, if we're making our coaching decisions, we're not playing the best players because maybe he's not acting like I want him to act. I'm
well,
not
but,
happy with that.
Yeah,
either.
But Paul, if
spin
they go,
it toward
right. building a team, building defense,
right,
yeah. you can't
And now
allow,
if the guy comes out and they do well in the playoffs, you can say, well, you know, whatever he did got his mind back, you know?
I don't know.
But I think well, a lot
that.
Of
we'll
two,
never
days
know.
Two days after we said, sorry, AD, he was starting.
I was
going to
say,
so
you could argue
that.
Bill just said, ah, screw it with the attitude thing. I need the
I'm
best players on the field
I'm
now.
7-5. Right. Enough with my
you
point.
Can argue
you
both
could.
Ways.
You could. Because we don't know what
now,
goes
I would,
on.
If you're the coach, you're obviously going to spin it. He fell in line with what I wanted and finally got back out there. But I find that hard to believe.
Well, but it's a team that has guys play consistently over their, you know, over in the history of the success of the
right.
latest generation. A lot of the guys have been playing over themselves, right. and that can be traced back to attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so obviously Bill needs guys to be having the right attitude. You know, so maybe he, you know, like you said, he felt like it wasn't in the best interest of the team to have a guy who wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid.
And especially this year, when
when they need
all
guys,
the talk
yeah.
of turnover, lack of leadership, you had to be careful. Maybe now we're this is all total speculation. You had to be careful that Sean Springs comes in and becomes a leader. In the wrong direction, in the wrong way,
sure.
something you're not looking for.
Sure.
So you need to establish something else before, I don't know.
I mean, there's a million answers. Maybe it's like his level of play has been about the same as a younger guy. I want to get these guys reps. Sean will be playing at the end, but I can't see him being an active.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know.
Theoretically go with that. I mean, a lot of people think get the young guys reps early so that when the postseason comes, they're now experienced, have more under their belt, and you know Springs has
right.
a dozen years under his belt. He'll be okay.
Yeah. But that's hard to tell a guy.
Bottom line
who's
is
had that
he's
many,
playing, yeah. and he's playing pretty well right
at least right now. Yeah.
For the last couple
yeah,
weeks. So it's benefited the defense, just like
right.
Sanders getting back out there has benefited the defense.
No, I mean, you know, it definitely is premature to say it, but everything fell into place in that game. Now can they continue that?
And we may not get a chance to know until the postseason.
Right.
Because we don't know
what
this game
gonna
is going to
yeah.
be on Sunday.
Exactly.
Now, I think it'd be a great test if they were going to play because Schaub and that passing attack
I know.
Beat you.
I'd be tempted for if I was Belichick to get these guys back out there and see if I can do it again.
I think the pass defense will.
I think defensively, I don't think you'll see a lot of
well, I think Wilfork and Warren, there's a good chance they won't play. But to me, it's those two guys in the big three that are most Welker, Moss, Brady, Wilfork, Warren. I would have all... Sit. No. Don't put pads on. Don't warm up pregame. You're not playing.
Yeah.
And I think you might see other guys limited a little. I think a guy like Gerard Mayo could get a little bit of rest because I got to think that he's dealing with the after effects of the knee injury that he suffered early in the year. I hope so. Is right.
Otherwise, he's not as good as I thought he was going to be.
But I think that you might see a pretty fair semblance of what their secondary is going to look like in the playoffs.
Well, you have to. I mean, there's. Who are you going to play?
Right.
Well,
you might
I mean,
see Terrence Wheatley, or you might see. But
he could play Butler, Wheatley, and Wilhite, and you know, instead of Bodden, Springs, and Sanders. You know, I mean, he could do some different things, but I don't think he will.
I mean, you probably need at least six defensive backs. You can't go into a game with less than
right.
six DBs. So
yeah,
some
of those guys have special teams duties as well. You know, so it's tough.
It's what he's being truthful when he always says you can't rest everybody. I mean,
right.
you need to field a roster of players to play a game.
Colts managed it.
No, but you know what I mean.
The Colts had 22
you
different
think,
guys on the field. I don't know how they did
if
it.
If you think they got criticized, can you imagine how Bill would get criticized if they
not
just had nobody? Oh, I think he'll get shredded.
By who?
By everybody.
By Patriots fans?
If more, I don't know about fans.
Well, that's what I'm talking
about. They'll let you know in 2 weeks whether they win or lose because that's how they'll judge it. They shouldn't have arrested him in the last game if they lose. They should if they win. I think they should rest him.
That's a fair point.
On the phone right now, 508-543-7482, Tyrone from Delaware is calling in. How you doing, Tyrone?
Hey, how you guys doing? How are you guys? Merry Christmas.
You too, Tyrone. Feeling better this week after that performance?
Yeah, I feel a little better.
Uh-oh.
You know, I kind of said, excuse me, say that again?
I thought you would feel a little bit better. It sounds like you still have reservations.
Well, you know what? Well, before I go into that, I want to give props to Chris Baker and James Sanders, man. They are showing up, and especially since Chris Baker wasn't getting the ball. And, you know, I think from time he got that, you know, when that first play. I think Beatty threw the ball right to Chris Baker. The referee was right there. And I guess from since then, Baker got into the flow and he made an incredible catch on that on that touchdown. And I think he should get the ball more. What you guys think?
I like the idea of just the tight ends in general getting the ball more and getting involved in the passing game. I think Brady does too. I think, you know, up to this point, they've been really involved in protecting Brady. But, you know, again, the Jaguars aren't a team to test that protection against because they don't bring a lot of pressure. That's not what they do.
Last in the league in sacks.
Yeah, so we don't know if it's elevated play. It's just hard. You know, talk to me when they play the Jets, if they play the Jets. If they can do the same thing and keep Brady clean in that game, I'm sold. But, you know, until then, it's just hard to tell, you know, if you know, in a game like against the Jets, you can get the tight ends as involved as they were on Sunday.
Okay, well, they need to, what they still need, and like I said previously last week when I said, they need to spread the ball around, but they still need that third option. And I don't think we're going to get it. But the passing game did look a lot better. And I think they can build on this game. But I'm trying to figure out whether or not they're going to play the guys Sunday against the Texans. You guys think so?
I think they'll get some rest. I think some of the guys that are dealing with stuff, Will Fork, Warren, Brady, Moss, Welker, guys like that that have been dealing with, you know, some physical problems over the past couple of months, I think you might see a little bit less playing time for them. Bill, you know, Bill was very noncommittal yesterday, said he hadn't even thought about it yet. But to me, reading between the lines like you always do, Freddie, if that was something that wasn't in his mind, I think he would have bristled at that question.
Yeah.
If he wasn't thinking about resting guys, I think he would have said no. I mean, we play games, you know, there's no such thing as a meaningless game, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But do you guys? I think they should play them because I'm trying to see who we're gonna play in the playoffs, and I kind of don't want to see the same team we played during the regular season because you know the Super Bowl thing with the Giants. Kind of a little scared about that.
But that's virtually impossible, though. I mean, almost every team that they have a chance to play seven different teams, and six of them they've played.
Yeah, so,
and the other one's dangerous.
And the other one's Pittsburgh, which I think you can make a strong argument is the least attractive of all of the candidates. You know, if they somehow got in the playoffs, that would be like a second life for them after that five-game losing streak.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to see them.
I don't want to see them either. But one more thing before I go. I just want to see if probably you might ask Bill probably what's the deal with Isaiah Stanback because I remember – like a couple weeks back, I think Brady, I was reading it on you know, on a website that Brady was pleased of Isaiah Stanback, I guess, progression in the offense. He's getting the offense. But since the Colts game, I ain't seen him after that. I think the Saints game probably played one down or something. But if you're not going to use him, don't you think, because I've seen tape on this guy, Darnell Jenkins, and he's a fast guy on the outside. Don't you think it would make sense to at least see what that guy got and probably put Isaiah Stanback on the practice squad under the QB?
I'm not sure. Is he eligible for practice squad Stanback?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, I don't know how many games has he been on the roster now.
He might not be anymore.
Yeah, he came from the practice.
They've had him as the third receiver, I mean third quarterback, so he hasn't been taking up a roster spot. He's been he was that extra man. Edelman's more healthy now, so they wanted to get him more involved in the passing game.
I think if Jenkins was on the roster, he'd be inactive.
Yeah.
I think right now they have their receivers
right.
and their roles, and Aiken right. is a special teamer and the extra receiver. And,
yeah, I mean, you're bringing up guys from the practice squad at this point in the season out of absolute necessity.
Plus,
doing it just to see.
Do we know he knows the
yeah.
offense? And
yeah.
we'd be back to all those issues where it was Stanback and Galloway and people that didn't know the offense
yeah,
and you're trying to work them in.
But like I said, I've seen tape him in college, and like I said last week, they're not too far from being a very dangerous off. They're not too far from 2007, if they could protect Brady.
Wow!
And I think they just need that third option.
Well, that's
and
true, but
we all agree with that.
Is.
But I don't
they
know
have
if
the third
be it right. You know, I think we're done this
right
season
now.
As far as getting that.
Okay.
You have what you have.
Yeah. Okay, I guess so. Well,
no, I think their offense is good enough to win. That's for sure.
Well,
sure.
We'll see what happens. But you guys, take it easy. I'm going to listen to you guys when I get home.
Okay, Tyrone. Thanks Tyrone. For calling in.
Yeah, he's not he's not buying after that victory.
Yeah.
He started out very hesitant, and then he said he doesn't want to play any of the teams we already played, and he doesn't want to play the Steelers.
Right. Well,
so he doesn't really want to play anybody in the postseason.
You're anxious because you've seen an inconsistent Patriots team, and you don't have the swagger that you had, you know, a couple years ago. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio at Patriots.com. Now, Matt, the Colts game. If you're a Colts fan, would you be pissed?
Not necessarily.
No.
You
can leave the show. Fred's mad at you.
16-0 doesn't mean anything to you if you're a fan.
It does, but at the same time, you know, I mean, if you've got a bigger goal in mind and you're going to do everything,
are
it
they
takes
mutually
to reach that goal,
exclusive? Can't you have both?
No, I mean,
maybe not.
Yes,
in their
you can
mind.
Have both, but you know, it's.
Can't you have a perfect season and go on and win all your playoff?
But it's
games?
A risk versus reward
right.
thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
I think
do you sprint the 20th mile or do you want to go win the marathon?
Right.
Well, that's different. There's no undefeated really. Game. There's no games.
Well,
within
if there
the
was
marathon.
A record kept for the fastest 20 minutes in a marathon, I mean 20 miles,
no,
you wouldn't go for it
apples
because you
and
go.
Oranges.
Same
apples
thing.
And
same
oranges.
Thing. Same thing.
There's a reason why all the fans
I don't mean
are
a
off.
Thing if you don't win the ring.
Yeah. I haven't heard any fans say,
just
well,
so you
in
know,
a marathon, you know.
The Colts are looking to trump your 18-1 season. That's what they're looking to do.
By doing what?
By winning
by
the
winning
ring.
It?
Now
by
this
getting
has
a ring.
Now this has something to do with Fred. It's his 18-1
yeah.
season?
Yeah.
Well,
what did he do?
It's my 16-0 season. Patriots
oh,
own
whoa,
that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's my 16-0
the Patriots own that, and
how
no one else has
how did you catch?
No one else has a 16-0 regular
season.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't say
I wrote at least 14 good
less
leads in that season.
Because they didn't win the Super Bowl that year.
What's
you,
that?
You can't say that 16-0 doesn't mean a little bit less
oh,
than it would have.
It absolutely
you know?
Means less.
And that's what it boils
but
down
a
to.
But a Super Bowl means a lot more if it's undefeated. So you can make both arguments, you know?
It means more. I'm not sure it means a lot more.
No, not a lot.
You've got to win the Super Bowl.
It means something. It's not
it's
marginal,
it's
Paul.
It's marginal to me.
It's not. It's
and
huge.
I felt that way in 07.
So you'll be disappointed as a Colts fan.
There's a team that wins the Super Bowl every year.
This is true.
He gets back to this argument.
You know? Every year there's a different Super Bowl winner.
Now Super Bowls aren't that important.
But you know what I'm saying. But
hey,
to win a Super Bowl and
point,
be undefeated,
Freddie.
It means a lot more.
It's just like our whole debate. I see your point. That's why I was kind of noncommittal, and I still am. I'm in the middle.
But the bottom line is Polian believes this.
Polian.
Polian believes this gives him
a
better
chance
to win the Super Bowl. That's what he believes.
Brian in Baltimore says, hey, guys, love the banner this morning, so I have to chime in. Polian is a coward. If he's afraid of getting his players hurt, then why play his starters at all? Any one of those starters could have gotten hurt on any single play. That's football. To me, it just blows my mind. The bottom line is I hate the Colts, but we all know they are a great organization, one I have a lot of respect for, but now I just shake my head and laugh. Not only will the now Indianapolis Dolts ever be special, will never be special. They will never try to be because, as they showed Sunday, they don't have the ambition to be the greatest ever. In 07, when the Pats were 15-0 and playing the Giants in Week 17, that game made me proud to just be a football fan because both teams had nothing to play for in terms of playoff seedings, yet still played their best guys because of the history at stake and out of the respect for the game. In my opinion, the Dolts disrespected the history of the game and greatly disappointed their loyal fans, but I'm on board with you, Fred. It put a smile on my face to see it all go down and Penis Manning losing his precious streak. There you go.
The trouble really is, like you don't want them to lose, you know, you don't want them to not go 16-0 because they sat people. You want them to be trying to go 16-0 and not make it.
Right. They weren't good enough. Right now, you don't know.
Right.
Right.
That doubt is damaging.
But they can never prove that they were good enough.
But they don't care.
Right.
I know, but the fans do.
Who's the
fan? And the player, when you say they, you're talking about one guy, Bill Polian.
Right, but that's the organization.
But that's the problem. Okay. I think every other player on that team wanted to do it.
So you think if Bill didn't want to play the 16th game to win, that he would have because the players
no you're right he wouldn't have, but that's not Bill, and that's why I'm glad he's our coach and our organization isn't being run by Bill Polian. It's being run by Bill Belichick, who has balls.
I think it's just
balls, my friend.
I think it's just the opposite. I think the easy thing to do was
he
to
has balls.
Now, like I said, if I were the Colts,
I want it all. I want it all.
Once they won the Jacksonville game, if I were the Colts, I'd have gone for it because I think they could have with you know, sleptwalked through the last two games against the Jets and the Bills and won them both.
Because you have balls, Paul.
It has nothing to do with
Paul has balls.
It has nothing to do with
Paul
that.
Balls.
I do. I have big ones. Really, really big ones. But this has nothing to do with it. I think the harder thing to do was to do the unpopular thing.
It's not hard.
Why is that not hard?
He's a pussy. All right, let's see.
What are you doing?
Chuck from Brighton.
I don't really understand why when you whisper, you don't think anybody
Chuck from Brighton says Bill Polian is fired after the 2009 season after the Colts failed to win the Super Bowl. Would the Pats hire him?
No.
I vote yes.
No, but no. I think 30 other teams would.
Yeah, the Patriots wouldn't because Bill Belichick does
right.
that.
Fights they
thanks
would
for
have.
The holiday card. Nice touch. Matt's there with Elk. I'll bring the periwinkle salad. Playoffs go Pats. That's from Chuck in Brighton. So.
Periwinkle salad? As in snails?
I don't eat that. Of course, I used to probably say I didn't eat
that's
elk.
That's not nearly as cool as elk.
No.
You don't have to shoot snails.
Tim from Dallas says, what is Polian afraid of? Overwhelming media scrutiny, pressure of going 19-0?
Exactly.
How about that? I think the Patriots did feel some pressure the last few games in 07. Rest? How about the bye week? How about resting in the Buffalo game? Seems like plenty of time to rest. Fred is correct. Polian would be killed if everyone sat in the Buffalo game at 15-0. Right, absolutely.
Killed worse than he just got killed?
Yes, even worse.
So maybe they would have stopped the show 20 minutes before the end of it.
No, they would have tar and feathered
maybe
him.
Maybe they would have had to censor the message board on Colts.com look, 2 days
look,
earlier
I
than
know
they
you're
did.
On board with every team except the Patriots.
I'm not on board. Fine, I told you a million times. I would have gone for it.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I would have tried to go 16-0.
So have fun with it. I mean, yeah.
But what I'm trying to point out is your hypocrisy.
My hypocrisy.
We're going to be here all day.
When would I ever not have gone for it?
No. The hypocrisy of
right
saying
when
that
Bill said it's a good idea to not go for
he
it.
He didn't go for it because he's afraid when he's done
no,
the same
I retracted
thing every
that.
Year.
I retracted that. He's not afraid. He's an arrogant
that's
fool.
The only thing that you said that I disagree with.
Okay.
Everything else, I'm
But I retracted
with.
That.
That's why I said I'm sorry you're not going to get the great show you're looking for because me and Andy just don't care about this as much as you do.
Well, you know,
and you need me and Andy
because
to be
you guys have
with
never
you.
Been fans. You don't understand what it's like
true.
To be a fan.
See, now
I think
you
a real fan celebrates
you like you like to stay in the middle, so no matter what happens, you know, you're not going to be too disappointed.
No,
you got to let it out. You got to go out on a
don't
limb.
Get why
you know?
That would
yeah.
bother somebody
yeah,
so much.
It's disappointing. It's disappointing if you come up short, and it's more disappointing than if you don't go out on a limb. But if you win, it's that much better. You got to have. You
but
know,
I'm consistent. I didn't
that.
Care about the undefeated season.
Well,
when
you
the
don't
Patriots
care
did.
About anything.
Yes, I do.
No,
championship.
No, you don't. Yeah.
Championship.
You're
that's
just
the bottom
you're
line.
Just
with
miserable.
Me.
Shut up. Fred's right about that. All you care about is supposedly the people, and I know
I'm
you
a
don't
man
care
of the
about
people.
Them either.
I'm a man of the people who likes championships. Sorry.
You told me you don't like people.
He does.
They do like people.
That's why he hid out in the VIP area of the London.
Oh, that was uncomfortable. Too many people.
Too many people. TG and NJ
every
says,
time we needed a beer, I had to go get it.
Fred must be giddy. Bill Polian is getting hammered by the Colts fans, and the Pats remain the only team to go 16-0. Fred, thy name is Schadenfreude. Today's football questions. Guys, which decision is worse? The Pats going for it on 4th-and-2 or the Colts giving up the perfect season? Perfect season. I say.
Sure.
Paul doesn't care. Andy and Paul don't care. If the Saints were still undefeated, could the Colts have pulled their starters against the Jets?
What?
If or the would Saints... the Colts, if they were both undefeated, would they have still pulled
think,
the starters?
I think they would.
I think
yeah,
Polian would because he's arrogant.
Because he said he would.
How does that make him arrogant?
I agree with you.
Because my philosophy. Well, his quote was.
Because his philosophy doesn't agree with Fred's. That makes him arrogant.
One of his quotes, Matt, was, we'll let other people worry about 16-0.
Okay.
That makes him arrogant.
Because
he doesn't care about going 16-0.
I understand football
Fred,
more than anyone
Fred
else.
Fred does. You know. That means you're arrogant.
You know, he's,
now, I happen to
he knows
with
more
Fred.
About football than Bill Belichick or Don Shula. You know?
Well.
That does sound a lot like something Bill would say, though, doesn't it?
What?
Huh? That does sound a lot like something Bill would say. We'll
yes, yes,
about that.
Yes.
Very much.
The two guys are the same guy.
No,
that's exactly
no,
what I'm talking
but
about.
But, Matt, he wouldn't say it about 16-0. He understands the
well, he
significance
we're not
of going
saying,
for
how many
history.
Times have you heard this over the last 10 years? We're not saying that our philosophy and our system is right for everyone.
Right.
It's just what works for us. What's in the best interest
right.
of our
right.
football
it sounds
team.
A lot like something Bill would say.
But he wouldn't say
but
it about 16-0.
Okay,
but not the specific thing. I'm just saying.
Again, Fred.
He brings the same air.
It's the same. It's the philosophy. You disagree with. You would have gone for 16-0.
Yes.
So you disagree with what Polian did.
Right.
But the philosophy of as to why he did it, you're on board with. Because Bill would have done the same thing.
Well,
Bill went for it because it was in his philosophy to go for it.
Right. because he has
a bye.
Balls.
Oh, I thought it was a bye.
How do we look at Jim Caldwell now? Is he still the leading contender for Coach of the Year? Anyone?
I don't know. That was a hard one for me because I don't think that he did anything special to be the Coach of the Year. And I know how stupid that sounds. The guy was 14-0.
Right.
But I don't really think that he's doing a whole lot.
I still haven't seen him.
I feel bad for him. If this truly was a singular decision, what are you doing? You're making
you can't make
hand
gestures in there.
That usually tell you to take a break.
Are you taking? No, but I'm talking.
Okay. This is break.
It's like a warning.
It is break.
That's
I was sitting on
pounding your fist together.
This
means
is what Ross and Monica did on Friends. Yeah.
But how'd you even see me? You were facing the other way.
So now I forget what I was going to say.
Because when your hands flash in his periphery vision, he looks. Right?
You should know that from your Syracuse education.
What did you take at Syracuse? Did you take, like, radio production?
Were you even in Newhouse?
Newspaper journalism.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. I'm as dumb as you guys.
He's an idiot like me.
Let's major in a dying profession.
Hey, let's work for a dying profession.
At least in my defense, it was 10 years before it was a dying
right.
profession.
TG says that, Paul, next one is directed at you because it's from a fan perspective, and we all know if
that
there's one thing
not a fan.
You share in common with Paulian, it's your disdain for the fans. What about the argument that some fans are making that they just didn't get their money's worth? They spend their money, buy the jersey, support the team, and this is what they get. What did Paulian say? He doesn't owe the fans anything? Did the organization pull the rug out from under the fans' feet?
See, that part I don't agree with at all from the fan. I understand the fans being upset because they wanted, like you said, they wanted to be 16-0. They wanted to go 19-0 and be the first ever to do that. But this whole notion of that they owed the fans nothing but to try to put the team in the best possible position to win the Super Bowl. This is what Bill Polian believes he did. You can argue and say he didn't do that. And I go back to the thing that Andy and I are talking about. If the players really, really are upset about this, you can argue that he did the opposite.
Right.
But the fact that he owes the fans Peyton Manning playing 60 minutes, did he owe him a torn ACL?
Right.
I mean, he didn't owe him anything.
Did he actually say that he doesn't owe the fans anything?
I mean,
that's an arrogant statement.
I believe that's a stupid thing to say. However, I agree with him. He doesn't.
But you can't say it.
You can't say
it. But he's the kind of guy. If a caller calls,
I think they owe the fans everything.
Well, they don't owe the fans.
With no fans,
they owe the fans
no team.
One thing only: to get the team in the best possible position to win the Super Bowl. That's what he believes he's doing.
I understand. Funny thing is, if the Colts go 18-1 and win the Super Bowl, it makes what they did on Sunday even worse. And that's the reason you should always hit it, Doc. Play to win the game. Right? Doc's not here.
And he doesn't know how to use that machine.
He's probably
last time he touched it,
he's probably
going to
come up with an F-bomb.
All right. 508-543-7482.
Web
radio at Patriots.com. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
W in progress. Fred bailing out as usual. Of course, just Andy and I. Matt's still here. The elk burgers are not still here.
No.
What did you bring us last? Now, were these all elk? Did you mix them last time?
Last year was, or I guess it was a year and a half ago, it was deer and elk mixed together. We did. We took all of our deer and all of our elk and got, you know, the best steaks cut out and everything, and then we took all the rest of the meat and just threw it all together and made hamburger out of it.
Can you eat elk just, like, is there like a filet in elk or
yeah,
a tenderloin?
Well, the
or
last
whatever
time the burgers went over. Wondering. The burgers went over the best the last time, so that's why.
Well, we're definitely burger kind of guys.
But the backstrap is the best meat. That's the
oh yeah,
the tenderloin.
The little pieces. Mm-hmm.
I remember those.
You
said
yep
that. Mm-hmm. I remember you saying that last time.
So did how you, much did you get all the elk? Was it your elk, or did you have to share it with other hunters?
No, that was we. Everybody got their own animals this year. So nobody normally, if you have a couple tags that don't get filled and a couple people that don't get animals, we
right
all just kind of pool it all together. But this year we all took our own animals.
So how much elk did you get?
My freezer's full.
Yeah.
A couple hundred pounds.
Wow.
between the elk and the deer and everything.
And different types, the backstrap and
mm-hmm
the ground.
And roasts. Steaks. Yeah.
So do you get sick of elk?
No.
Does your wife like cooking it?
She does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it doesn't, it's.
I don't think we can hear you. Turn your
elk
mic
kebabs
on. Elk stew, elk steak, elk.
My father-in-law is a very generous guy, and so we've got all this elk and, you know, and deer in our freezer and a bunch of fish from Alaska, and then he went out and bought us a side of beef too. So that's right.
Oh,
he gave us the freezer.
Wow.
So
you guys eat well though. Quality stuff.
We don't go on
a lot of meat.
No chicken nuggets out of a box or
exactly. lots of meat around our house. So I'm always happy to bring some to.
It's very good.
All right, Matt from Oregon. I just called the hall. They're expecting you. So just give your name at the door.
Good deal.
Nice.
So you're all set.
Good deal.
That's not all three of you. You're all set.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, Matt from Oregon.
Pencil you in for next year for another elk or
done.
You got to hit it though.
Sure.
Paul's balls said Fred. I have big ones, said Paul. I feel uncomfortable, whispered Andy. I'm glad I'm not there, said Eric, listening to the show. That's TG and NJ sending that in.
Absolutely, TG.
James says, will you please stop referring to Peyton Manning as looking like a penis? It's very insulting to penises.
Now that's funny.
Thanks, guys. Nice to meet you.
All right.
See you guys.
Nice meeting you. Jason from, hey, see you later. Thank you. Jason from Ireland, living in Barcelona, says, since you guys are talking about balls so much, did you hear Jaws' hilarious comments during Monday Night Football whilst referring to the field conditions after the ball had fallen out of Cutler's hand? We were down on the field before the game where we were grabbing some balls and they were slipping out of our hands, but we don't have hands as big as Brett Favre's.
I missed that.
Fred, did you see the pregame? I was telling Paul they did a nice thing about they were doing the whole Favre-Childress debate, and in the midst of it, Gruden and Jaws broke into an argument, kind of acting like one's a coach and one's
right
a quarterback. It was very funny.
Yeah.
Gruden was being mean, downright
yeah
mean. He was like, you threw 180 picks in your career, and Dick Vermeil retired after having to coach you. And just,
and I was like, hey.
It was entertaining, though.
That's good.
It was well done, especially since.
What's going to happen? I mean, I know they play tough and the offense played well. Farr played well. But what's going on with this Vikings team? Are they imploding?
They're struggling. They're definitely. It's
they're off the lines that I touted. They're not playing that well now.
They have some issues, but I think they just peaked too early. I think they're the classic case of they peaked too early.
Same thing with the Saints. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, Bill says it all the time. And, you know, we sort of forget it every year in the middle. But it's not about how you get there. It's how you are when you do get there. And right now, the teams that we would have thought a month ago were the teams to beat, I would put New Orleans and Minnesota behind right now, Philadelphia and probably even Dallas.
In Dallas.
And maybe even Arizona.
Yep.
I think Arizona's a dangerous team. I know Andy doesn't, but
I think they stink.
When Kurt Warner plays, they win. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
We should do that. We should have done – you know how they always say the polls, the quarter poll, the half poll? Because there's been like – 10 different teams were the best team in football at some point this season.
Right.
You know, when the Patriots were done in New Orleans, was there anybody who didn't think New Orleans was the best team in football?
Well, everybody. Some thought Minnesota at the time.
Right.
But after that game, I think New Orleans I think heading into that game, a lot of people thought Minnesota.
The Giants early in the year, everybody assumed.
Right.
Philadelphia has kind of been losing to the Raiders. Now people think they might be the best team in the NFC.
And now all of a sudden, the Colts are embroiled in this mess.
Broncos undefeated.
Right? You know, with this whole thing that we're talking about, everybody thinks San Diego would be the tougher team to play now.
Right.
And I mean everybody. You know, I'm listening to these guys talking ESPN. Listen, you can debate till the cows come home whether or not you think they should have played everybody start to finish. What I don't think is debatable is that they lost an edge somehow.
Right.
You know, they played very well when the starters were in the game. They got them out of the game, and whatever happened after that is completely irrelevant. I'm listening to Trent Dilfer, who happens to be on TV right now, telling me how losing that game is bad for the team, the morale. They see what happens without Peyton Manning out there. What? Are you telling me that they're going to be in the AFC Championship game and lose Peyton Manning and be chock full of confidence?
Right.
No matter what happened in that
whether Painter played previously or not.
Unbelievable.
You know, it's funny because even last year when Brady got hurt in that Kansas City game, the Patriots ended up winning that game, but not by much. I mean, they went into the game like, 13-point favorites or something like that? And you could see, you know, forget about Randy Moss.
Deflation.
Who had to be consoled.
Total deflation.
Total deflation.
And just imagine how much worse that would be if you were 13-2 and lost the guy.
Yep.
But I think it's genuine. I mean, I think it's real. There's a reason. It's not.
Oh, absolutely.
You can say all you want that this is the greatest team sport in the world and blah, blah, blah.
And you can also say all you want about the fact that they went 11-5 last year. For a month and a half, they were winning games with subpar play from the quarterback.
Right.
And if that were playoff, I mean, listen, it's pretty clear. All the good teams they played last year, they lost to for the most part. They didn't really beat anybody of any substance in a year that their schedule was rather soft. So to expect them to have gone into the playoffs, Curtis Painter.
So let's ask the question: the Patriots last year. Remember Vince Wilfork? They thought they were as dangerous a team, not making the playoffs, that no one wanted to play.
Not even worth discussing.
Are they dangerous this year?
Much more dangerous than they would have been last year.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's all. I know, like you just said, it's the whole team thing.
I agree. That's why I told
you
2 weeks
ago. You got one guy who's throwing for 4,200
yards. Whenever someone asks me, who do you not want to play? I start with the quarterbacks. I don't want to play Roethlisberger. I don't want to, you know, I'd rather play the Jag quarterbacks, the lower level
and
quarterbacks.
And that's why the Jets would be, to me, preferable to Baltimore.
Right,
because I think that the teams are somewhat similar, but I think Flacco is capable of making plays that Sanchez isn't.
And that's why, you know, the Jets, even though they have, you know, statistically, and I think legitimately, one of the best defenses in the league.
That's a good defense.
Their offense can be stopped.
Yes.
You know, and that's what's holding them back.
But what about the Moss factor?
Randy Moss?
Yes.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Against Darrell Revis.
Matchup. Well,
do you have to do anything to make sure he's not taken out of the game?
Well, I think they did that in the last game, you know, that they played them.
I think that's a mental hurdle that you're adding to the equation that is not
good. I know, but I think at this point, Randy's got to realize that you're going to go out and you're going to be a decoy. You're going to take...
It's over.
Yeah, you're going to take Revis out of the game.
But Kenny... Can he take Revis out of the game without sulking, without losing it himself, without being some negative?
Well, you know, Randy, unless you can get open, you're going to have to do that, you know?
That's the only thing I question is if that's something you're just getting Moss feeling good about himself.
I understand.
Would that be an issue, something that could hurt you not only in that game, but could it make him take a step back? And if you do win the game, he's not at his best
mentally.
Randy
is emotional and sensitive, but I don't think he's completely stupid. And I think he understands now that, you know, Revis is pretty damn good. He's a good player.
You know? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
The first word you used was right, emotional.
Yeah.
And I don't know when his emotion overtakes his intelligence. And I think Revis might be a case. He's getting his hat handed to him by a guy he thinks should be a lesser player, but isn't.
Yeah.
He's beating you.
I know.
And I don't know.
And for him, you can put anybody on the planet in that category.
No,
I
know.
He thinks he's better than everybody. And he is.
But I don't even think he respects Revis.
No, well,
if it was Champ Bailey or some guy he could, like, spin some respect for.
You might be right.
I think he thinks Revis is beneath him, but he's not playing like it.
Yeah, you might be right. I can't argue with that. That's a hypothetical.
He wants to embarrass him and so far has realized, I can't embarrass him.
How about Janikowski making a 61-yarder in December in Cleveland? That's pretty impressive.
Hearing of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I mentioned it. I figured you hadn't seen anything over the weekend.
John in South Carolina, I would be pissed if I were a Colts fan because the only time the Colts won the Super Bowl is when they did not get a chance to rest all their players. They did not go 16-0 because the team could not handle the pressure. Think I am wrong, then prove it. You can't, so I get to hate all I want. Secondly,
I'm down with that.
I want to play a team we played before the odds would be in our favor. These other teams need to be afraid of us. Lastly, do we have a pass rush or not?
I think the last 2 weeks you've had a pass rush. I mean,
pull the fence out of your ass.
Well, we haven't had one for 14 games. But
I don't know.
The last two,
Tully Vance
Kane's
got 9.5 sacks.
Yeah.
He's 11th or 14th in
the
league
in sacks.
Five of
them in the last 2 weeks?
I know, Paul. But when history looks back on this, it's going to say sacks, Bante Kane, maybe 10.5.
Maybe.
On the phone right now,
508-543-7482. You don't have a pass rush.
Is Steve in New Hampshire? Steve, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Steve.
All right, we must have just watched the best game this year as far as execution from everybody across the board, and that was sweet.
Yep,
I agree.
Definitely got to enjoy that. But I look at it as this way. Did Bill Belichick know from the beginning of the year how he was going to play with the players that he chose, letting go the guys he let go, making changes, et cetera. And I look at it this way. It was funny because right before last week, I was talking to somebody and said, you know what? I guarantee you it's going to be nothing but veterans in the secondary this week. I guarantee it. And when the game started, it was right there across the board. Borden, Springs, Merriweather, and who am I missing?
Who are you missing?
James Sanders.
Don't miss James Sanders.
No, that's what I'm saying. James Sanders, and everybody's, he's the smartest guy in the secondary. I mean, he's apparently the man in the secondary, which is brilliant. So I look at it this way. I'm saying to myself, and you know how I said it way beginning of the year, I like the picks that we had in the draft, and I was hoping that, Aiken was going to be the man, whatever. But I looked at it this week, and I went, man, my favorite player this week, Edelman. That one catch that he made with the yard after catches, I went, oh, my God. These things are here within this team, and I kind of think that Bill Belichick knew this, and he's been pushing the youth, and then when he comes to the end here, he's going, I'm throwing the vets in there to protect my system, and when I go into the postseason, now I get the best of both worlds to work with.
I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying, Steve, but I think if Darius Butler had been playing lights out, he'd be out in the field instead of Lee Bodden or instead of Sean Springs. So,
really, Fred, look at it this way. He didn't push either one of them. He's still, working each.
Yeah.
To figure out which way he's going to go.
That's the point, though. You're saying he knew this ahead of time. I'm saying that, he's figuring this out as he goes along.
Of course he is.
Well, no, I agree with it. I think that's the same statement. He knows ahead of time, but yet he's figuring out as he goes along. Of course he is. He's going, maybe this week I'm going to get the, I'm going to get to see what I want to see. So he's pushing, but yet he's holding back at the same time. So he's got players to play and he's got things to work with. So I think that's what he's
doing.
Well,
I think if you're going to say, coming out of training camp, he kind of saw what he had and knew the potential, didn't know if the potential would, play out, but knew what guys could do. I think that's true. I mean, I think every coach kind of has an understanding of, wow, this guy, if he just keeps improving like I think he might, he could do, you know, I'm talking about guys like Edelman and, you know, the rookies, Vollmer,
right.
And, you know, but you just don't know. So you kind of, and you can't push it. You can't just put Vollmer out there on week one. He's got to earn it from, you know, and you play it by ear. And Belichick has said before, if you don't have to make a decision, don't make it. So, 'cause sometimes time and other events will make that decision for you. There's no reason to rush into a decision that you don't have to rush into. And I think that has to go with personnel and a lot of things that he does.
I think that's awesome. And I would say it this way, like, look at Gerard Mayo last year, where he knew what he had. He knew what he had.
Well, they drafted
him.
They should.
He's got to look at certain things and go, all right, you know, do I push this? Do I, you know, even keel this? Which direction do I go with this player, that player? And right now, watching that game last week, you have to feel hugely positive going, this is the best time for this to happen, and it better happen next week for us as fans to feel, okay, you know, the mojo's there. It's happening. Because they did it last week, and I hope it's not a one-game fluke where every one of us that believes that these guys are what they are, you know. And part of me really believes that Belichick has been watching this all year, and he did what he did last week as far as the execution, and even the week before when he pulled down on the defense and said, no, just walk around and wander and screw freaking him up, you know. So I think Belichick is always still there.
All right.
And that's what I believe. But I got one question
okay,
for you guys.
Okay, quick, because we got other people and we have a lot of emails.
All right, I was listening to earlier for one of the other radio stations, but I thought this was cool. Which out of the four Boston teams is best set up for the next decade?
All right, it's a good question to end that call on. Which of the four Boston teams is best set up for the next decade? For the next decade. It's hard to say. I mean, who knows? The decade's a long time.
Yeah, ten years is a long time.
Think about all the things that have happened since 2000.
By the end of this decade, you have a very good chance that Brady and Belichick aren't here anymore.
Yeah.
So who, I mean,
and,
who
and Garnett, Garnett probably
the Celtics,
won't be there.
The Celtics will have all three of those big three won't be there.
Beckett won't be there.
The Red Sox are pretty young, but they also have key guys that are old. It's almost impossible to answer that.
I'd say Patriots won. Celtics 2, Red Sox 3. I have no idea about the Bruins.
Chris from Stamford, Connecticut writes in, web radio.
I'm
going to
get a few years of Brady Belichick. So
yeah.
I think the Garnett, everybody says, oh, those contracts, Allen, Pierce, Garnett, come off sequentially, so you can theoretically rebuild the whole team with big slots. Well, show me who the slots are, because theoretically
the Celtics,
it doesn't work for me.
I think the Celtics are the worst for the three teams in terms of being set up for the long term, because their stars are all aging.
But it depends. I mean, if they really think they're going to get Dwayne Wade and somebody else, or if they think they're going to get LeBron or these pipe dreams, whatever.
Yeah, I would say that I don't think that.
I think the Patriots are the best, because my guess is almost half the decade is going to be Brady and Belichick, so I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm not willing to say that.
Chris from Stamford says, hope you had a great holiday.
Paul's
glad to have the show back, especially after this week's game. Three quick ones to discuss amongst yourselves. Lawrence Maroney, why? Did the Patriots have their best game of the season, or did the Jags come in with a lousy game plan and no energy? What do you think?
They had their best game of the season.
I think the Patriots played absolutely their best
and
game.
And I think the
most
Jags had energy
game of the
for
season.
A half of a quarter.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with the Jags' game plan. I think the decision on the end of the round on 3rd-and-1 was questionable, but I think their game plan to run the football against an undermanned Patriots front was a good one. And what they do on defense is what they do every week, so it's hard to question the game plan.
Yeah, we should touch on the second straight week. Ron Brace started at nose. The other team drove the ball on the ground.
Right, he played five plays.
He leaves.
Yep. Only this time he didn't go back
and
in.
And they made their adjustments and shut down the run.
This time he didn't go back in, though.
And worse, by the way, than the end around, I thought, was the fourth down call, which was a
terrible.
Delayed handoff. I just, why do you put any type of hesitation to me in a fourth down short yardage play?
I just don't get
because
you're waiting
at
for
all.
James Sanders to make a play.
Well, you're not going to be able to stop him from making a play either way,
right.
So you might want to get up there quicker.
Right. Week 17, to play or not to play, what would you do?
Don't play. Listed my five
I say
guys.
I play him for a half and then not take me. Him out, regardless of the score.
I want them having a full I want them knowing they're not playing, don't play, mentally, physically, everything. You don't have a bye. Even starting preparation.
I just want him to get in there and get some snaps. And, okay. You know.
I just don't want rib snapping or finger snapping. No, I don't either. But or back snapping or
that's not what,
anything
how we
on welder
the game.
Snapping.
We don't play out of fear. Chris
from Stanford. You're going to stick with that, right? It's a terrible decision if Brady, Moss, and Welker don't play.
At all.
I want you on the record.
I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it.
It could cost this team a Super Bowl.
I don't agree with it.
Okay. I just want it on the record so that you don't change after Bill does whatever Bill does.
It's Sunday. Play a little football.
That's what you do. It's Sunday. We play football.
That's what you do on Sunday. Chris says, have a happy new year, knowing they're in the playoffs no matter what happens next Sunday. I feel like I can relax for the first time since the preseason.
Exactly. That's what I want Brady, Moss, and Welker doing, relaxing.
Oh, boy, a lot of...
Along those lines, do you not even really practice them this week? That was one of the Ask PFWs. If that's going to – do you just go – you know, Brian Hoyer takes the main reps.
If you're going to ask Brian
Edelman,
Hoyer –
Stanback take the main reps.
If you're going to ask Brian Hoyer to play
– would Stanback be your backup?
A significant amount. He'd
have to be, right?
He's got to play. He's got to take a lot of snaps this week in practice.
You're not going to elevate J-Row, are you?
Oh, yeah. I guess you could do that if you had to.
Yeah?
Because you have to have a backup quarterback, obviously. I mean, there's a chance – Hoyer gets hurt on the first snap.
Yeah, well, I'm not expecting Brady to be on his couch like you are.
I want him to
I'm
be on.
I'm expecting Brady to be in uniform.
I want
the
number 12 jersey to remain folded and in the equipment room.
Yeah, I don't think that's realistic.
Mark in Nova Scotia, what did you guys think about the Moss celebration and the Randy chants? I thought that was really cool moment in the game, especially considering the turmoil he has endured this year. It was nice to see the fans really get involved at Gillette for once. I wish there was more of that stuff at home games. In PS, I'm sure Paul didn't like it.
No, I loved it.
And you know why it was great?
Loved it.
Because the last time there was a great one, it was the same thing. It was natural. The snow thing with the brewski thing.
It was spontaneous.
They can't orchestrate these things. They just have to happen, and then they're cool because they happen.
And by the way, that video of the interaction between Moss and the guy with the mask is on Patriots.com. You can watch the whole thing.
You have no idea what's going on in there.
I thought the funniest
thing. Shaking his head. What?
The funniest thing to me is it was the same people that 2 weeks ago were giving them the business. They were booing.
Yeah, probably.
What do you mean probably?
Well, I don't know.
At home.
Those particular people.
I thought we were sold out, and so they're season ticket holders. They're all the same games.
They were booing him around, cheering him wildly.
That's great.
We love it.
It's just like when you yell at your kid and then hug him later.
Right, exactly.
But that's the part of it that I like.
Exactly.
No stubbornness.
You love him both ways, but you're mad one time, you're happy the other.
Right. As long as you know, give the effort, we're behind you.
The mask is just scary.
Also, interesting that Randy would say that he admitted, you know, the last time I was on this field, it wasn't too hot. It wasn't too hot.
Right.
My performance wasn't too hot.
That's right.
I think.
He knew.
Didn't take a rocket scientist. He had one catch and he fumbled after that catch.
Right. I should say it now. He said it.
Okay. Yeah, but that video is available on Patriots.com.
As a Patriots now?
If you want to watch that. No, it's just up there.
Now what?
Doc comes into my office yesterday morning, all, you know, breathless. So,
because he had a big dip in his mouth.
He goes, you know, I know Andy will never give me any credit, but, you know, we got that whole thing on tape. What did you think of that? You know, the whole Moss thing. I'm going, that's great. I go, so you did that? Well, we found it. We found it. The guy with the camera is the guy that figured out what was going on.
So what's on the video that fans can go to right now?
It's the, you know.
It's the big board showing the guy.
It's actually the guy. Because we have the film.
Right. No, that's what I mean.
So
footage from the big board.
Yeah. So it's the guy doing his Randy thing, and then it goes back to Randy going back, and you can hear the fans chanting in the back. It's
because that's
good.
What did they see on TV? They obviously saw him.
They didn't see much on TV.
Yeah,
they
TV,
saw
they
Randy doing some of it.
Yeah, TV they didn't see much. No, only the people at the stadium could enjoy it.
Well, they saw Randy's reaction on TV and him laughing and doing the one separation thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you'll see the complete thing on Patriots.com.
Thanks to Doc, because he's the hardest working man in the business.
We found it.
Finally,
that is funny, Fred.
Finally, there was entertainment at a game because it was spontaneous and fan generated. Never does it come from anybody who's in that department.
See, but what you
by
need,
extension, that's you.
What you need, though, is when there's times where there aren't things going on, you need something to help
right.
that cause.
A mascot on a scooter with a gun shooting
I'm
T-shirts.
I'm not against artificial celebrations.
Oh.
Or what you know, what artificial means to create enthusiasm in the stadium.
They
it's best when it happens like this.
Right.
But you need times to fill the gaps, the voids.
Do you guys know women in your lives that have fake breasts?
Yes.
I know one.
I don't.
It's kind of weird when you find it out.
How did you find it out?
No, I didn't find it out that way. I just found it out. But isn't that kind of like, because you think it's like a celebrity thing or a stripper thing? Or,
yeah.
I just think it's
not anymore.
Weird.
It's pretty common now.
Really?
Yeah.
So like, I mean, one in five women I pass.
We
I
used,
fake
let's just say that
What's
years ago there was a rule on the
strippers life.
On the Patriots cheerleaders, you couldn't have fake ones.
Are you kidding
it's
me?
That's why you had terrible cheerleaders.
You can't do that anymore. You can't have that rule anymore.
It's funny. The Chargers had a similar rule, but it was you had to have fake.
You had
breasts.
To have them, right? Right. The Raiders.
There was seriously a rule.
Yep.
That's astonishing to me.
But that was like 10 years ago when.
When the Chargers and Raiders still had hot cheerleaders because they all had fake boobs.
Right.
When cheerleaders weren't supposed to be attractive?
Right.
Who made that rule? You?
No. It was 10 years ago. It had nothing to do with Freddie. He didn't have the cheerleaders then.
Alex says that.
Now he has the cheerleaders. How often does he have them?
Alex says if you had a crystal ball and knew that Tom Brady would injure his foot against the Giants in week 16 of 2007, would you still play him or save him for the Super Bowl?
Save him for the Super Bowl.
Okay. It seems that the Bengals decide the third or fourth seed. If they rest the starters as expected and lose, we will be the third seed no matter what happens in Houston. Is that right?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Because
we can lose in Houston.
As far as I know, assuming that the Patriots and the Bengals do the same thing on Sunday, the conference records are going to be the same and the common opponents are going to be the same. It's going to come down to strength of victory. That is a fluid situation, as Andy likes to say. The results from week 17 are going to matter in that, so I don't know how that's being calculated now. And maybe we're so far ahead in strength of victory that no matter what happens in the last week, it wouldn't matter. I find that hard to believe.
NFL.com right now on their standings page, like the sixth column over, next to conference record, it says PCT. It has a number?
Percentage.
Yeah. And it says 0.634, I believe, for the Patriots. Whatever our number is right now in that column is the exact same as the Bengals. So I assumed that was the strength of victory number, right?
It could be.
Winning percentage?
No, that's over by the one-loss record.
But
this
the
is like six columns over from that. So I assumed it was.
But so that now we have to see what happens this week for that to change.
Wait, what was it, 663?
Six, would you say?
Is that what you said? Because that would,
like,
be the
would be the winning
that
percentage.
That would be the winning percentage of the team overall.
Yeah, maybe it is.
When you have 16 games, it's ridiculous to have percentage. Who cares? I mean.
Well, no, but for tiebreakers.
You've got to break a tie somehow.
No, but winning percentage is the same.
No, I know.
That's not a tiebreaker.
No. But we're trying to figure out what that 663 is, the winning percentage.
Maybe it is just the winning percentage.
We
just
were thinking PCT. It was the records of the teams that the Patriots have beaten.
That would be an important stat.
Right, that's the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
But it might not be. I don't know why it's way over there.
Yeah.
Usually,
if it's just winning percentage, there's no reason to have it.
I'm looking at the standings right now.
10 out of 15 would be 666. Right?
That other one is conference winning percentage that you're talking about.
Again.
It's next to the regular winning percentage.
So it's useless.
It's useless.
Fred's right. There's eight games. Or whatever it is. You don't need.
Yeah.
It's not like a baseball season where you're doing it. You can see who has wins and losses.
I'm guessing that's not what it is.
I thought you could click on the header and it would tell me what it was, but it just like reordered them or something.
I don't think they want you to know. I really don't.
So they can put the Jets in no matter what?
That's the funny thing, too, about this whole decision of whether or not to rest for the Patriots. What makes it even more complicated is, let's just say for argument's sake, and we've all talked about this the last few weeks, there are very small differences between the 3 and the 4 and all that stuff and what it entails. I don't even know what the Patriots would want. If the Patriots could go into this game and say, if everything goes right, this is the perfect scenario. You know, like, remember when they lost the Miami game when Castle threw the ball into the stands on purpose?
Right.
They clearly wanted the 4 seed that year so they could play Jacksonville as the 5 and not Pittsburgh as the 6.
Right.
There's no way, even if they say, we want the X seed, they can't be guaranteed of it, no matter what they do.
Right.
And they can't be guaranteed to face an opponent that they want to face,
right,
no matter what they do and what Cincinnati does. It's just a mess.
It really is. But it's kind of neat.
You know, but you know what's neat about it? It's a mess to see who you play. It's not a mess like last year where you see whether you get in
whether
or
whether you
not.
Get in.
No matter what you play.
Sean in Hazleton says, it's playoff time, and once we get there, anything goes. I think this week it's not going to matter because if we win or lose, we'd be locked into the third seed. I don't see Cincy giving it all on Sunday, and when they will end up playing – and they will end up playing the Jets again the following week. If I had to guess, the playoff game will be next Sunday, since Lord Favre and the Vikes will be the third seed once the Eagles beat the Cowboys. NBC would be in love with Lord Favre versus Prince Romo for the Saturday night game.
I was going to say, as long as it's Dallas. I think Dallas is right. going to be the night game. I think that's what I've heard.
The only bad news, if we beat whoever we play on that Sunday, I'm thinking we are going to be playing on a short week and travel to San Diego, which more than likely will be the final game of the season. But let the chips fall where they may, and let's see what happens. My question for you, do you feel Stephen Neal is our best offensive lineman? And how would his impact help us if he how would his impact help us if he did get hurt in the Super Bowl? Would you feel that might have been the missing link? Oh, okay, back
if
in 07.
If he didn't get hurt,
Super he Bowl. Didn't get hurt. Oh. Yeah, it might have. It couldn't have hurt.
It didn't help. He is a very good lineman.
Right. Now, they were all getting beat.
Whether he's the best or not, I don't know. But he's a very good offensive.
Well,
lineman.
I was going to ask: is it merely coincidence this week that you got? What we perceive, well, I'd say both.
Well, Volmer,
what we perceive to be their
last week.
No, I know, but what we perceive to be their five best were on the field together on Sunday.
Right.
They didn't give up a sack and they rushed for 200 yards.
They didn't even give up a
coincidence
quarterback
or
hit.
Not? They didn't just because the Jags didn't try and all this, or that's their five best and that's
but they
what
didn't
they
even give up
there.
A quarterback hit.
No, I know.
Well, when
so
you think
that,
about it,
they got
know,
a little
you
lucky
think
there
about,
again. When Tom Brady is just ducking and a guy dives over the top, he could have been hit.
You think about, you know, the records of Patriots set in the Super Bowl years, you know, starting 43 different starters and all that stuff. Health-wise, they're very lucky right now.
Oh, yeah.
They're in a very good position.
Yeah,
so all the running backs are back. Tom Brady is back. The offensive line is intact. You know, everybody's back that you need.
Somebody sent an SPFW. Who's on IR right now, and could they help the team in the future? No. I mean, it's George Bussey, Brandon
Tate.
Well,
Tyrone McKenzie.
Nobody that's ever been counted on to do anything is on IR.
Right.
They're all guys you've either never heard of or never done anything.
They've had a remarkably healthy year.
It's all
they could help. Brandon Tate could help.
Not one guy on IR would have helped them this year demonstratively.
Right.
They might have gotten a contribution, like a Julian Edelman contribution.
Yeah. I'm thinking McKenzie maybe, but you don't know.
I mean, he wouldn't have been the difference between you winning or losing in any game.
But so, but things
really
are looking
is.
Good, with the exception of Will
Conference
Fort,
winning
who,
percentage.
We're not sure the extent of his injury, although they worked him out before the game, so he must be close. Everybody's in a pretty good position right now for the Patriots.
Why do you need conference winning percentage, Paul?
Well, you don't. Because obviously, whoever's going to, you know, you either have a better record or not.
Right.
Well, there's no,
that's what
there's
I mean.
No sense
you,
to tap.
You all
no,
played the same amount of games in the conference.
10-6 is 10-6 or eight. You know,
They're both going to end up either
NFL.com
8-4.
Money in the water again.
They're both going to end up 8-4 or 7-5 in the conference. You know, I'm not going to need to find out what that winning percentage translates to.
See, I thought they were.
If
giving
one of them
the
ends up 8-4 and the other 7-5,
right,
I know the one that's 8-4 is better.
Right.
What about when they haven't played the same amount of games though, like earlier in
you
the season?
It doesn't matter though, because you never
it's
need
not
to
a tiebreaker.
You never need to determine the tiebreaker until the season's over. Like right now,
it's like Alfred assesses schedules.
But seriously, right now Denver is in the playoffs.
Right,
right.
They don't control their destiny.
But the season doesn't end now.
But it's even weirder though.
If the season ended,
if
today,
the season ended
best
after
line in sports.
If the season ended after 15 games, Denver would be in because they win all the tiebreakers right now.
Right now.
But they do not control their destiny
because of who they play next week and who their other
who
teams
the other teams
play. Right,
play.
Right.
Because it makes no sense to tabulate a tiebreaker until the 16 games have been played.
Right. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Keith in Dallas is on the phone. Keith, how you doing? Keith.
Keith's gone.
Keith is gone.
How long did you make him wait?
Keith's gone.
I'm trying to do, you know, mix it up here.
A lot of emails.
Let's see. Brian writes in.
You know, you're right about the NFL.com. They could screw
stinks.
Up a free lunch.
Yeah.
You ever see those commercials on NFL Network, too, where they talk about you could be watching Polamalu, you know, steal one from Tennessee while watching, you know. And, yeah, and you know what? You get to see none of it because NFL.com's page now is a complete and total joke.
If you want the NFL, go to the NFL.
No, don't.
If you want the NFL, go to a game, or better yet, watch one on TV so you could see all the games at the same time.
Right.
Because you're not going to get it on NFL.com.
Did you see the Benson guy celebrating the missed field
goal? Oh, is that unbelievably
one
funny?
One of the classics of all time. Did you see that?
No. Remember I told you about that kicker, by the way.
Oh, you hated him, right?
He's a fool.
He hates everybody.
He's a boob.
They kicked it, and the kick is from the minute he left.
Well, it was going sideways, too.
Yeah.
Did you see
it?
It
looked like an Andy Hart kickoff in high school, and he starts celebrating, and all of a sudden he goes,
remember I told you?
He starts looking, because it was terrible. There was no chance. No one in the stadium thought it was
good
for him.
They had that kicker. He was hurt. He was suspended early in the year, and he was hurt. And
why was he suspended?
Juice, I believe. Garrett
Todd
Hartley.
Sauerbrunn?
He had the game
there
against
you go,
Washington.
Paul. Just slander someone. Don't worry about it.
I'm not slandering him.
Paul, it was a diuretic. You know that.
Okay. You know, there's a possibility I am slandering him. You're right, Andy.
Because you said, quote, juice.
You're right. I'm sure it was of the best intentions. But he kicks the ball funny. And he had the game winner against Washington, the game that they stole when Sweetsum missed that short field goal. It didn't. It was like an 18-yard field goal that he just made. Like it went. That he's not. That's going to be a big problem for them. He's not a. He's not going to make big kicks for them. But Carney was falling apart when we played him. So they need. They were dying to get him back because they felt that Carney's 110 years old. They thought he was out of gas.
I'll tell you, it'll be a big problem for them if they're in field goal games. I think they need to cruise.
Well, I've been watching some of the highlights. They made a lot of big plays in that game and just like. You know, they had a big slant pass over the middle to Colson for about 25 yards, and he fumbled at the end. They're just playing sloppy football right now, but that's hard to just turn on and off. Suddenly, their offense has become very average and only averaged about 24 points a game over their last four. And I know that doesn't sound like a big dip, but it is based on what they were doing before that. They were well on pace after the Patriots game to compete for the Patriots record for points. And they haven't been able to score, and 17 points has been 17-0 lead against Tampa Bay at home. They coughed up. That's amazing.
Word.
And Minnesota's lost 3 out of 4. Favre's yelling at his coach.
Patriots are the best team in football
right
now.
The NFC playoffs are going to be very interesting.
Let's see. Brian writes in from Tuscaloosa. And he says, bear with me as I go on a rant. First off, I felt extremely dirty as I was loudly rooting and chanting for the Jets on Sunday, but it was a necessary evil. I hate them the most out of all 31 teams, but the Colts being number 2 on my list and set up for perfection caused me to put my hatred to the wayside. Second, the Indy fans got what they deserved with their embarrassing booing of their team. The backup quarterback played worse with each series as their heckling got louder, plus St. Payton wouldn't even acknowledge him on the sideline. Way to support your teammate and help him through adversity.
Stop it.
Third, I don't ever want to hear anybody talk about our sideline behavior again after St. Payton pulled an LT and pouted with his helmet on the whole time. You can even see his trademark forehead imprint during the post-game presser. The announcers even tried to vindicate him by saying he wanted to hear the plays that were being sent into the game. Don't they have headphones for that? And fourth, a New Year's resolution, get a new host of PFW TV. At this point, even the Prince of Pomposity would be better. Wow. That's Brian's rant. So
wow.
Temple in a bowl game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
9-3 Owls. It's big, Freddy.
508-543-7482. On the phone is Dan from Delaware.
Hey, Fred. How you doing?
So what did Delaware?
Yeah, New Jersey. People ask you where I live. I say Delaware. Yeah.
New Jersey.
There's nothing out here.
No, nothing?
Nothing.
Crickets.
Except for the Ravens. They're the local team I support. But I'm a Patriots fan first, like I told you guys before. Hey, thanks for the Fantasy League this year. And even though I know Fred didn't play in the Fred Kirsch League, probably I still kicked his butt.
That wouldn't have changed whether he'd played or not.
Why, did I have a team? Really?
I did. I won the championship this year. I was pretty happy.
You beat me. Congratulations.
Did I?
I'm very upset about that.
I'm so sorry.
Who won the Perillo League? Crickets.
I don't know. I tell you what, I won it the way Fred would have won it, though, by sheer dumb luck.
That's how we won the picks contest.
Fred got the job here.
So what do you guys think? You guys were probably talking about the whole time.
Look at the face.
That and his yarmulke.
Fred is giddy over the decision by Polian to pull the starters on Sunday, and he's been calling them all sorts of names today.
Coward, fool.
Coward, arrogant,
ballless.
Fool.
Wasn't Polian's decision, though.
Oh, yes, it
was.
It was
the dumbest thing I'd seen in a long time. You would have figured they were the Oakland Raiders that day.
Oh, it was terrible.
But yeah. I enjoyed it, too. I'm right there with Fred on that.
Yeah, it made my Sunday.
It made your year. You were more happy about that than any time I've seen you all season.
He was more happy about that than the Patriots playing their best game of the year by far.
I thought I was
going
to have to close the door in his office.
It was great. The only bad thing about it is it helped the Jets. It's the only bad thing about it.
You know what, though? I was just about as happy when the Saints lost, too.
Yeah, I was pretty happy when the Saints lost, but not as much as this one.
Now I know how Mercury Morris feels, you know,
yeah,
when I pop the bottle.
That's true.
Yeah, see, I don't get into that.
So next year, you guys, I know the Patriots don't have a lot of money and all, but are you guys going to pop the money for the NFL League for fantasy maybe?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What?
I don't do fantasy.
The free Yahoo league kind of rots.
Does it?
Yeah, it's very difficult to see what players are doing what, but it costs like $100-something per league to do the NFL league.
Well, who does? James Cuff runs that, right?
Yeah,
I'll have to talk to him about that. I don't know. I don't know from fantasy, so we'll,
maybe get the lowdown to sponsor it.
Yeah, maybe I'll help him out with that if he wants to use the NFL one.
Yes, I mean, I just think the NFL one's a lot better.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I played in my other league this year was the NFL league, and I lost in the first round of the playoffs in that one. The first year I ever made it to the playoffs in fantasy, and I even won it.
Oh, see, the poor guy.
Well, Tomas is still mad because he beat him in fantasy.
That was well timed.
He doesn't want to hear him gloat about it.
Josh writes in, no. Did you guys see that the Colts' third quarterback was named Drew Willie? And did Andy think this was funny? Apparently he did.
I did when I first heard it right now. Isn't that what they did during the aerial shot of Patriot Place in the preseason broadcast? Drew Willie.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Sam in Chicago, hey guys, and Jeremiah Johnson. That's probably Matt from Oregon he's referring to. Here's a picture of
me.
Why
is he Jeremiah Johnson?
Fullback for the Bengals?
Jeremiah Johnson was a character in a movie played by Robert Redford. He was like a mountain man that his wife was killed and he went to the mountains. Either I think he might have been accused of the murder, so he went into the mountains and became this mountain man.
Kind
of
like Yosemite.
Yeah,
Sam.
All right, I'm with you now. Why you got a cackle out? You got a cackle out of Toyota in the other room.
But it's better because I thought he was just making a joke, being stupid.
No, Sam in Chicago sends us a picture of him with some. He says, "Bonehead Indy fans, I love that Indy threw away a chance at a meaningless but bragging right 16-0 banner for their stadium. Last night's game here in Chi-Town between our Bears and the Vikings show that anyone can be in it when mentally prepared. Eat it, Favre. I would love to see a Jets-Patriots first-round playoff game here in Foxborough. I feel the momentum is on our side. And does last Sunday's game sway Eric's opinion that the Pats are finished?" We don't know because
we'll
he's
ask
not
Eric
here
tomorrow. But that's the problem when you say definitively that the season and the dynasty are over. They might not be. I mean, would you guys be like earth-shakingly stunned if the Patriots ended up in the Super Bowl?
No.
Earth-shakingly stunned would be too strong. I'd be very surprised. But stunned, like it can't happen?
Yeah.
Like I was the first time they went to the Super Bowl? No.
It's not at that level.
No. I wouldn't be. You're right.
Because
they could beat Indianapolis and they could beat San Diego. I know they can.
Sean writes in, "Fred, I say if they are healthy, play them wisely. Keep the momentum rolling. Brady looked the best he has all season." Did they go at? Did they even take one shot downfield in that game on Sunday?
Touchdown was downfield to Baker.
Yeah, I don't consider that a downfield pass.
When the ball travels in the air 30 yards, you don't consider that a downfield pass?
Not really.
Okay.
You know, I consider when the guy's streaking down and you're trying to hit him in stride. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm not going to argue with you. I thought that's exactly what that was. But
no, he turned around and faced Brady, you know. The Baker touchdown, he caught it in the top of the end zone.
It was a seam route.
Yeah, but he turned around and
to catch it.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about, a bomb downfield with no end, you know.
So if he caught that in stride, that would have been a bomb downfield.
Listen to
but
me.
He turned his back.
All
and
right,
jumped.
Paul, either other than that, was there a
I thought there were a couple, but not many.
I'm trying to think.
I think he threw one down the sideline that was pretty deep to Moss, that Moss somehow got his feet in bounds for the one catch that wasn't a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, the twist around one.
Which was a fade back. It was like a back shoulder fade, not a bomb.
They didn't have any go.
They didn't have a go route. If that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm talking about.
You like them to low point the ball, not high point.
Yeah, right.
But I think that's what you do.
Well, that's why you're criticizing Chris Baker, because he high pointed it and went up and got the football above his head, and rather than just like bread basking it. You know what we like to rip Moss for, because he waits for the ball and doesn't go get it.
But I think that's what you do against Tampa twos. I think you hit crossing routes and
you don't
take the underneath stuff.
Right.
You take away the bombs.
Okay.
Especially bad cover twos where the linebackers aren't getting in the way.
So the Patriots don't force it downfield. They take it when it's there. Warren in UK, did you guys see Sale fly out and hit Maurice Jones-Drew on the play action in the red zone? I damn near dropped my drink when I saw that play. He flew out, nailed Drew, and then realized he didn't have the ball and then helped tackle Garrard.
We did, because what I said
he
to Paul was he celebrates every play the same way, including when he tackles
non-tackles.
A fake. There's a ball fake. He tackles the guy and still gets up and does that big fist pump thing. But at least he was on the field.
Yeah.
Marvin.
One of his six games.
Marvin, right, I said to Paul, this could be a smart-ass column. that he had six games in him. You figure out how many he's played and said, well, apparently they think they're going into the second week of the playoffs, and that's game number six.
Marvin from North Carolina. How deep in Bill's doghouse is Maroney? We all saw Belichick have something to say to him after the fumble, and he never made it back in the game. Also, Paul, can you tell us how Denver, who was in the five spot this week but will not make the dance, even with a win, if the Jets and Ravens also win? Thanks for the great show. Keep quizzing that Bill Belichick. Keep guzzling that Bill Belichick Kool-Aid, Fred, and soon you will believe in Santa Claus.
I just saw him.
I got to disappoint you on this one. I can't do it. I don't know how Denver's not in the playoffs if they win, but they're not. They need help.
And they screwed us, by the way, by losing the division, because now we have to fly to San Diego instead of Denver next year.
See, I want Denver in. I want to play Denver first round here. That would make my day. That's what I want.
You are all about personal vendettas.
You got that right, my friend.
He's become an embarrassment.
You're the anti-Bill
Polian. But he doesn't want to play the Jets.
Who's just about winning Super Bowls.
But you know what's funny? The team that he should have the hatred to, he rooted for on Sunday, and he doesn't want to play in the playoffs.
Right.
Understand that. I don't know.
I just want to beat him.
I've stopped trying to understand what goes on in his brain.
Shouldn't you want to beat the Jets? Isn't that the team you hate the most?
We beat them.
And you lost to them.
We beat them the second time.
Don't you want to go 2-1
against them? 1-1.
No, we lost to the Broncos. I want my revenge.
But they're not going to make the playoffs.
That has nothing to do with it.
I
didn't
say
what was going to happen. I'd just like to play them in the playoffs.
Wouldn't it be pretty hard to play the Jets in the playoffs?
Nope.
No.
Because they will end up as the 5 seed if they win.
We don't know what seed we're going to end up in.
What if we end up the 4?
But it'd be unlikely we get the 4 because Cincy would have to lose to the Jets.
And that's very possible.
But how do you know that? How do you know who gets the tiebreaker? Because no one has yet to explain this to me.
Okay, but they'd have to lose a tiebreaker to them is what I'm saying.
Well, they're all tiebreakers.
They're tied with Cincinnati.
I mean, unless...
If the Patriots at Cincinnati do the same thing, win, both lose, no one has sufficiently explained to me who wins the tiebreaker. And the reason I think that is because it goes down to strength of victory. Which can't be tabulated yet.
Fluid situation.
It's a fluid situation, right, as Andy likes to say. And by the way, just to correct some of our emailers, strength of victory has nothing to do with points for and points against.
It's the records of the teams that you won.
It's the record of the teams that you beat. The next tiebreaker after that will be strength of schedule, which is the record of teams that you played, not just beat. So it has nothing to do with running up the score.
Suzanne writes in, I did want to say if Peyton doesn't win the Super Bowl, he'll be hurting inside forever. I think it will bother him more than Marino's regrets. Who really made the call, coach or owner? I thought it was the wrong call for the team, yet I love it.
Wait,
I thought it was Polian.
Polian, the GM,
already won a Super Bowl.
Right. And I don't think that Manning would feel any worse losing the Super Bowl this year and going 17-2, let's say, than he would have if they lost the Super Bowl and finished 18-1 and won 16-0. I don't think that makes him feel any worse. Right. If he doesn't win the Super Bowl this year, he's going to have a world of hurt, period.
Preston from
just
Brock.
Like Brady did in 07.
Sure. Another time. Whenever I see Asante Samuel running down
the
sideline with
the
football.
How do they ever see the ball in his hands?
Let's face it. This team will never, ever lose the hurt from losing that 07 Super Bowl. It'll never – nothing can take that away. That's like losing a son. You know, it'll always be with you, that pain.
Seriously, I just don't understand you. I know you so well. I just
relatively speaking,
things come out of your mouth sometimes.
Well, they're not relatively similar in any way.
You know, it's just you can't. There's nothing that can get rid of it.
Son.
I'm glad he's on the show because it ensures
game.
I'm never the dumbest person on this panel.
They lost a football
as
game
a fan,
and they lost a son
as a fan.
Oh,
as a
my
fan.
God,
football game,
dead kid.
Preston
football
from Brockton,
game,
did you
child.
Guys think we can really make a push this year with previous years of mediocre teams making runs toward the end of the season? This year, I think the Pats are doing the right thing by flying under the radar. What do you guys think? I don't think they're doing that.
I think they would prefer to be flying above the radar.
I don't think they're flying under the radar. I think they're the chic pick right now in the AFC.
Yeah, only in the media.
Well, who else
I'd like to know what opposing coaches really think. You know, we're asking, is it false bravado built up with a win over a team or whatever late? I'd like to know if opposing coaches say, they look the same to me. They look like the same crappy team that stumbled through the middle of the season.
Well, I don't know what the coaches think, but I would find it awfully hard to believe that opposing coaches would be dismissing the Patriots based on their
maybe they've watched the film history. And they think they stink.
Iggy from Madrid says,
"I put more weight in that than freaking."
I just can't imagine
Chris
going
Berman
into a,
saying, "I'm not saying that."
I can't imagine going into a playoff game and having a coach think like that. But
he lost weight again too, huh?
Berman,
yeah,
he goes up and down, he fluctuates.
That's not healthy, is it?
He's on that slim.
Belo, have you had anybody?
Belo's here
because he's going to be hosting the playbook.
Wearing a V-neck sweater in place of Eric Scalavino, yes.
Stepping inside the playbook.
He usually wears Eric Scalavino.
Well. Although Belo, you wear a polo. V-neck sweater.
That's
Eric
because
wears,
he spends money.
Eric gets his sweaters from the sweater barn.
I don't really have a philosophy on what I wear.
Listen, if anybody
but I never
could
wear
answer
Eric
this question,
I
can
I never
tell.
Wear his clothes.
If anybody could answer this question, it's Belo.
I saw you hosting Patriots today.
He researches
in place of Christina Acra.
That is true. That's a letdown. That's Brady to Hoyer right there. Wow,
boy. No offense, Brian.
That's a good one,
Hoyer.
She was out yesterday.
On assignment?
Vacation or sick?
Out on assignment?
Sick.
Oh, she's sick? Oh.
She's back. She's Poor back thing. And better than ever.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he was, I'd like to make her feel better.
You know what makes someone feel better when they're sick is a nice slice of cherry pie.
Where do you go from there, Paul?
This is just unbelievable.
Come on.
What do you got, Paul? You said there's a question. There
I do have a question
there.
For you.
Yeah.
Have you been able to do any research on this and sufficiently figure out, regardless of what happens between the Bengals and the Patriots, who wins the tiebreaker?
Not anything more than what I've... I have tried to find information.
The answer is no.
The answer is no. I mean, what... I
I'm
know.
Not, I'm not making fun
I
of you.
I probably know what you
we
know.
Don't know. We don't know.
We don't
well,
know.
It's
a fluid situation.
Everybody seems to be of the opinion, including the Boston Globe today, that if the Jets and Ravens both win, we're the three. If the Bengals lose, we're the three. I don't know why that is.
Here's what
I was just wondering if you would come across anything that definitively said, if this happens, then this will be the case. If this happens, that will be the case.
One thing that I did get from reading the New York papers, which I took a gander at this morning because I figured they might have more specific info because the Jets, you know, it's basically a playoff game. If the Jets win, they're the 5 seed. If they lose, they're out. They can't be the 6. And since the Patriots are most likely the 3 if they win. And if the Bengals lose,
but why is that? That's the part of the equation.
The Jets.
Why are we most likely?
No, he's
the
saying
three?
Because
if they
right
win.
Now, because right now the Patriots hold the edge on strength of victory and or strength of schedule on the Bengals, and most likely that will stay the same because of
the
five other
win.
Games. Right, of the 5 other games that pertain
to that.
So
you did do some research.
I did.
But it's still kind of shaky.
Maybe I overestimated. Maybe I thought you had done a little bit of that too. No?
I just don't understand how you can – I don't care what the strength of victory says right now because it changes. And I'm not going to sit there
exactly,
and tabulate
exactly.
16
but,
games worth of results on
but that's
a Sunday that hasn't happened yet.
But I don't understand
determine.
How you can. Aren't the Colts involved?
Yeah, well, virtually every team.
So
I mean,
if the Colts
NFC
tank
games,
it,
right.
They're the better team.
Right. Right.
But they could very easily lose.
Well, there are probably NFC games.
Right? And that would change the strength of
victory. That's my
point.
I'm not going to go through 16 games that have yet to be played, assign a winner to each of them,
right.
And then tabulate their winning percentage.
I will say this. Yahoo.com actually has a sort of interactive way that you can punch in literally every game on Sunday. Punch in this team wins, that team loses, wins, loses, and it gives you the playoff scenario. It's actually not bad. But there's, like Andy's right, there's NFC games.
Not surprisingly, that does not exist on NFL.com.
Well, honestly, in cruising around websites and other cities and all that, there aren't a whole lot of websites that
I
have
can't
given...
remember strength of victory coming into play
yeah.
to break one of these ties in a long time.
This
I'm sure
is,
it has.
This is great. This
I
is what
remember.
The NFL
yeah.
wants.
And the best part about it, I guess certainly from the league perspective, is that whatever happens on Sunday between 1 o'clock and 8 o'clock, nothing will be locked down, or very little will be locked down until that night game.
Yeah, right. That's why they did it.
Which is why they did it.
And that's really, a crusher. And that's where I'm really mad at Polian. I'm really mad at Polian for that.
Yeah. Because the
I
Jets,
think if the Patriots had who's the team that was 14-0? If the Colts had won
Patriots
the game
were a couple years
like
ago.
They would have if they had continued to play it right and they were 15-0, I think they would have put them on at night.
Yeah.
To see if they go 16-0.
Right.
Maybe
well,
they wouldn't have.
They would
I
have
think they
a,
would have.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I think they would
and
have.
Then they, and then we wouldn't have to deal with this nonsense. We don't have any idea who we're going to be playing.
Right.
Right. Yeah, didn't the Globe have us playing somebody?
Well, no. There's,
no, but they did assume the Jets and the right. Ravens would win. But I don't. I
and
don't
we won't at 4 o'clock after
no,
our game.
Nope.
Win
we,
or lose.
Right.
If we lose to the Texans, I don't know how that affects the
It still won't be known because it still revolves around the Bengals.
Right.
And everything revolves around that game.
But isn't it a legitimate chance we lose to the Texans if Tom Brady, Randy Moss, and Wes Welker don't step on the field? Or
I think it's a legitimate chance you could lose if they did step on the field.
Oh, that's the question I wanted to ask.
Stacy's the one that has to issue the release after our game if this happens, because he won't know either.
No.
Well, I would just wait. We don't know. Send out that release.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's going to make the preview. We have seven different teams that we could play. It's going to make the preview a little bit challenging, to say the least.
Belos here, he's going to be filling in for John Rook. Is that true?
That is very true.
Okay. Back-to-back days, filling in for Christina Acra and John Rook. Huh?
Wow.
Yeah, you know.
He's utility infielder.
Yeah, I'm like those guys on,
Utility low.
On guys on other radio stations who, you know, the hosts take vacation weeks and all that, but I don't think either one of these is vacation weeks.
Well, there's a lot of emails we didn't get to.
Oh, excellent.
So the email bin is full for you, and
that's
you can get to them in the next 2 hours.
We've got emails, and then we've got Russell Baxter coming on at 3 o'clock. So
he's
so
the best.
He is the best.
It's the B-Lo playbook coming up at 2 o'clock. As for us, we'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday. Until then, see you Wednesday. I don't know.